You know where I've been for the past hour? Standing on the sidewalk in front of Tim Riley's bar. That doesn't mean anything to you, does it?
Should it?
It's just an old eyesore that they're going to tear down pretty soon and put up a 20-story bank building with underground parking lot and fluorescent lights and glass walls and high-speed self-service elevators. And I wouldn't be surprised if they piped in music, too, right in the lobby. And a year from now, no one will remember that Tim Riley had a bar right on that corner, or that he sold beer for a nickel a glass, or that he kept snooker tables in the back, or that he had a big Nickelodeon on which you could play three Glenn Miller records for a dime. The thought occurred to me that there should be some sort of a ceremony. Maybe just a convocation of former beer drinkers and Tim Riley fans to hang with, maybe say a few words. Farewell, Timothy Riley's bar, and terraplanes, and rumble seats, and saddle shoes, and Helen Forrest, and triple C camps, and Andy Hardy, and Lum and Abner, and the world champion New York Yankees. Rest in peace, you age of innocence. You beautiful, serene, carefree, pre-Pearl Harbor long summer night. We shall not look upon your lights again. Bear with me, please, Miss Alcott. Well, they're going to tear down Tim Riley's bar, and no matter how silly and sentimental that sounds, I have lost someone.
From the 905 Geek Studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
Big deal. Hello.
There you go.
There's nothing inherently funny about that Night Gallery clip. It's just that every time he says Tim Riley, it becomes exponentially more amusing. It's just sort of comedy through attrition and overdue, you know, overdose. Why, hello. It's 4 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of July, in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It is Monday, July 23rd, and hello, and howdy. It's 503. I don't even know the name of the guy who sent me that. Scotty, who sent us the Tim Riley's bar clip? Some guy? Because it's from, it's not Twilight Zone, it's from Night Gallery. And see, in my recollection, I thought Rod Serling was the one who did it. But, you know, now that I think about it, Rod Serling didn't do narration. This is, I'm talking about something nobody cares about. Hoku? H-O-K-U? Hoku? Is that a person? All right, well, whatever. So thank you, Hoku, for sending us that. Now that I'm thinking about it now, and Night Gallery had Serling coming down where he walked through the museum and he would... And
he was Randy. Thank you, Randy, in Salem.
Scotty, why did you... Scotty, Randy and Hoku don't look anything alike on the page. His name is Randy, not Hoku. What are you doing back there? Sitting in a small room, breathing his own waste and paint fumes. All right, well, whatever. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. So in the Twilight Zone, Rod Serling would do that. Picture a man in a $3 hotel room. But in Night Gallery, he would just come into the museum and he would point at the painting. And the subject of that night's episode was always in the oil painting. And it was always like Roddy McDowell or somebody. All right, there you go. Fantastic. Tearing down Tim Riley's parts. 503-733-2970. And hello, it is Monday. 503-733-2970. You want to be a part of today's program, telephonically speaking. 503-733-2970. With your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your 2 cents, your what have you. It's 503-733-2970. Scotty J is standing by, waiting to ferry your calls along to the screen in front of me, waiting to pass along even the most minute of observations you may wish to share with us today. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email us if you like at rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com, Sarah at 970.am, Tim at 970.am, or Scotty J at 970.am. Oh, and I finally got, let's see, do I have these right here? I think I finally got some of Scotty's things isolated. Let me see if this.
Goddamn.
Yeah, fantastic. Just one more.
Goddamn.
Excellent. It's 503-733-2970 or rick@rickemerson.com. Hello. Here's what's coming up on today's program. Lisa Goddard, who I think was on vacation last week, she's going to be joining us today. We're going to be I got this great story. CNN didn't have this story, but I managed to locate it this morning. Now, apparently, on a poll of prospective GOP voters, this is the kind of story that really just gets my toes a-tapping. The leading candidate, now, none of the above. None of the above in like five polls in a row now has outperformed every other GOP candidate, which is fantastic. Wonderful. So we'll talk about that later on. Jim Roop will be joining us from Los Angeles to talk about blah, 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 David Beckham, blah, 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 can't walk, blah, 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 defective ankle, blah, blah, blah. Poor decision on the part of the Galaxy. So we'll talk about David Beckham. What else? Hey, will Peter Carlin be joining us today, Scotty? Like in the tour, like a two or something? We'll be speaking with Peter Carlin. Will he perhaps? Is that the best we can ever get out of that guy? Is that the best response we can ever wheedle out of that man? All right. The great thing is when I walk by, and usually when Scotty's on the phone booking a guest, he just, I know, it really is like a source's hazy shake again kind of thing, I know. I walk by and Scotty's on the phone, and Scotty, for all of the crap that we throw his way, Scotty really does speak with just the gilded voice of authority sometimes. He just has all kinds of slick, weaselly, worm-like confidence, as only a former salesperson can have when he's on the phone booking guests. But even Scotty just throws up his hands when he's talking to Peter Carlin, because you never really know. It really is just, because the guys, you're so truculent, you just never know. It's just by whim whether or not he'll actually come on. So I think, though, we will be talking to Peter later on in the show at like 2 o'clock. What else we're going to talk about there? Clyde Lewis will be joining us today. We'll discuss the fact that we're all a bunch of gigantic nerds. We have a fantastic penis watch right here. Ow, I just gave myself a paper cut on the tip of my nose. Anywho, and you know it's fantastic because it's from the New York Post, America's finest newspaper. And the subject line, here, the headline in the New York Post in this penis watch is, fired executive has a big beef. And so forth. Snuff watch coming up today. Musical acts coming to town you couldn't possibly care less about. And I meant to put together, because of the Harry Potter thing, I meant to put together a top five for today, and that didn't really happen. I was going to put together a top five songs with the word magic in the title, which is really just an excuse to play that magic song by the Cars. It didn't get played enough.
Or Dance Magic Dance from Labyrinth.
Or that, yes.
Or Magic by Pilot.
I don't even remember that song.
I bet Scotty will find it.
Scotty, Magic by Pilot. Please to do that now. Top five magic songs. Go. Is it a hit song?
It was a one-hit wonder.
Is that like... That's not the...
It's magic.
Whoa, ho, ho, it's magic.
Now you know.
I know that. I do know that song.
I did do the little accompanying dance.
I totally know that song. All right. No. You know, I was thinking of that song by Player. But no. That's the song by Pilot you're talking about. All right. Excellent.
Player is Baby Come Back.
That's right. Baby Come Back. Speaking of that, let me jump ahead just a second. So one of the reasons, I'll just say this, that I did spend a lot of this weekend sitting on the sofa watching the Anchorman DVD, which is one of our... We do go through phases on this program, and it's never with anything current. That's the thing I've noticed. It's never with a movie that's, like, out in the multiplex now, or that just came out on DVD. On this show, we will just seize upon a movie that came out, like, 4 years ago. And then that's the thing that we'll fixate on for, like, 10, 12 days.
It's like the fine wine.
Exactly.
For a while, ages with time.
For a while, it was Independence Day. That's only at slack moments now. Recently, it's been Anchorman. So I got the Anchorman Director's Cut at CD Game Exchange. And there's a whole bunch of... And it's longer, for one thing. There's a bunch of scenes in there that are not in the theatrical version, although I did realize, in retrospect, that while they have added several scenes to Anchorman for the Director's Cut, they did cut out one joke that my wife and I both noticed in the Director's Cut, which is great, and it has a commentary. It has him in character auditioning for ESPN. It has Ron Burgundy in character being interviewed by Bill Curtis. But they do cut out the joke where Brick Tamblyn says, "I ate a big red candle." It's not there for some reason.
In the movie?
No, it's in the director's cut loses that joke, and they replace it with a joke about a guy, I don't even know if I can say this. Well, there's a squirrel joke. You'll just have to see.
That's in both of them.
Is that in the theatrical
it's
version?
The squirrel?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. Thank you. Thank you for describing that in the way that I couldn't. All right. Anyway, so they lose the big red candle joke. But there is an extended sequence showing Ron has this whole fantasy about what life will be like when he's married to Veronica Corningstone with many children, which is genius. So anyway, there's that. What's that talking about? Ba, 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 and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. So, yeah, we got a penis watch today, a snuff watch, Clyde Lewis, Peter Carlin, Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, and so forth. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello, how are you?
I'm good. My legs are really sunburned because I sat in the backyard all day yesterday reading Harry Potter.
Now, would you like to share with everybody else, as you did with me, was this on Saturday when you'd already had one fight with your boyfriend about making him leave you alone so you could read Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows?
He doesn't understand.
No, I know. Trust me. I understand that.
And he was, and you know, he's completely content doing things without me until I want to sit and read a book. It's like, why don't you pay attention to me? Why don't you want to do something? Don't you want to go do
What's
something?
What's a book got that I don't have? Yeah. No, I know. No, the good thing is that my wife totally understands, so she left me alone. And she was working for large sections of the weekend as well.
Well, because Raoul's a bit cooler than I am. And I think that he doesn't quite understand the whole Harry Potter thing. No. As to none of my friends, I'm starting to realize, I'm realizing I'm a freak. After I had a discussion about Star Trek The Next Generation with some guy I met at a wedding reception on Friday for a half an hour.
Can I just tell you this right now? Now, this may be cold comfort and small solace to you, but we could poll the audience right now, and I think they'd all vote that you were the cool one.
Really?
I mean, if you're going to say that nobody understands you because you want to talk about... Listen to what you're saying. If you're claiming that you're an outcast...
I get a lot of scoffs.
If you're saying that you wanted to spend the weekend reading Harry Potter and talking about Star Trek The Next Generation and your friends didn't understand that, a spot poll of the audience right now will indicate that you are not only the cool one, you are perhaps the coolest person in the entire building at this point. You know that it's true. I mean, now granted, maybe our audience is not representative of the larger population as a whole, but that's okay. You
that
know?
Is okay. These are our people.
These are our people.
And I'm unashamed to say that how much I'm enjoying reading that book.
And here's the thing, and I'm already got the...
Yeah, you only have like 50 pages left, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
I'm surprised you didn't get it done, Rick.
Shut up! I was mainly watching Anchorman. I only took time out of reading Harry Potter to watch Anchorman over and over. That's how cool I am. We'll come back and talk more Harry Potter in just a second, and then this will probably... And then for everybody who's sick of it, this will probably be the final day we do it. Because today we got all the sales tallies. 8 million copies. It was selling 300,000 copies an hour. That's how great it is.
Thank you again for getting my copy. Thank you so much.
Oh, we'll talk about what I had to go through to get that here in just a second, by the way. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, a dump truck has just crashed into a TriMet bus in Southeast, and there are some injuries.
Excellent. I'm sorry. Not
in Southeast.
I didn't hear the injuries part.
Well, it's Southeast.
I just heard that there was a dump truck. But in my, here's why I snickered just now when you said dump truck. For some reason in my head, I saw a garbage truck. Not a garbage truck, a dump truck.
Right. That's my thought, too.
And it is in Southeast?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody's alive?
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go. So the snickering can begin anew. All right, I'm sorry, go ahead.
A motorhome burst into flames in Southeast. Tony still elaborates on what was pulled from the president's colon.
Why would you ever say that? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to pique their interest.
Done.
Harry Potter / Daniel Radcliffe now has access to $40 million in earnings since he turns 18 today.
Yeah.
And 8.3 million copies of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows have been sold in the past first 24 hours.
Hello!
Hackers can obtain a wealth of information about you thanks to a flaw in your brand new iPhone.
Squid. Oh, my God. I saw Squid's iPhone on Friday.
Yeah.
It's the coolest thing ever.
No, it is cool. There's no getting around it.
We're watching YouTube videos. You can just flip pictures.
Yeah.
Just, like, brushing your finger.
The thing about resizing the browser kind of freaks me out, though. I don't really care for how that works. All right. Well,
let's see Bill Gates come up with anything.
Let's see Bill Gates come up with anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that not loud? No, it's funny. Can I just... Okay. So now that we've done all of our business, let me just backtrack and say this. So we'll talk all the Harry Potter stuff in just a second. So, but before we went to the Harry Potter, the Harry Potter unveiling on Friday night, Laura and I went out to dinner with Aaron Geek in the City Duran and his wife, the lovely Jen, who is just, and I say this, and everybody knows I say this with respect, who is just a colossal nerd. And I mean, really just, like, you get the feeling that, like, with a fork and some tinfoil and, like, just a piece of human hair, that she could build some gigantic robot. You know what I mean? That would just, I mean, she really is, like, the smartest person I've ever met in my life in terms of that stuff. So we're all going out to, we all went out to dinner, and so the four of us are sitting there, and as it always does, the conversation just devolved into nothing but role-playing game and Mac versus PC, because Aaron and Jen, that's a totally Mac household. It's a totally Apple-based household. And so it just degenerated into like this, I won't say this open warfare, but just a long, tense conversation back and forth across the table between Jen and myself about the relative merits of Microsoft products versus Apple products, while Aaron and Lara are looking at the floor uncomfortably and sort of shifting back and forth in their seats. But the one thing that I do acknowledge and have always acknowledged, you know what Apple does better than anything else? Apple does, better than anything and anybody else, Apple does interfaces. I mean, in terms of interface and in terms of ease of use, there's no getting around that. I know that the iPhone is like yesterday's news because now it's all, it's, the, Harry Potter is the new iPhone. I will say this, though, that, I mean, you can't find a better interface than on an Apple product. There's just no getting around that. So, all right, are you going to get one, though? Now, are you going to buckle under and try to buy one?
Oh, no. I love my phone.
Yeah.
I just like to, yeah,
it's cool. There's no getting around it.
It's very cool. It's too much technology for me. I don't really need all that.
It's well, you know, they're talking about making a nano iPhone, which is going to be like $250. So, who knows? That might be vaporware, but we'll see. All right. Let the geeking begin. So, on Friday, again, Lara and myself and Aaron and Jim, we go out to dinner. And then they were unveiling the Harry Potter book at midnight, and so this is what nerds were. So we go home, we took a nap after dinner. We got to rest up for Harry Potter. So we go home, we take a nap. In one night, we hit three different Harry Potter openings just because it was that exciting. So some people do a bar crawl, like, a pub crawl. We did a Harry Potter crawl. So we started downtown. First of all, did anybody in this room, and I say this knowing the answer is no, did anybody go to Powell's on Friday night?
No.
Downtown?
No, there's no place to park there now that they...
No place to park. No place to stand. Nope. Jesus God Almighty. I mean, I don't know the actual... I don't know how many people there were, but, I mean, it was thousands. I mean, it was... It was unreal. I mean, I think it was probably the largest crowd I have ever seen assembled in one place in Portland, except for those first early anti-war marches in 2003 or however, 15 years ago, whenever that was. Whenever it was that this damn fool war started. But it was, I mean, it was unreal. Because, you know, you go to Burnside, and there's the main entrance to Powell's with the big lit-up display, you know, the big sign and everything. And you could see a long line of people, and you think, there's a lot of people here. But then you round the corner, and you're on 10th between Burnside, where it becomes Cooch, I think is the street that it turns into. And they had the entire street blocked off, and I mean, there was probably 1,800 people standing out there. I mean, in just this massive sea, I mean, and just like guys on stilts and guys fire eating and like every third...
People dressed as wizards?
Every third kid you saw was dressed as Harry Potter, a bunch of...
That's kind of cute.
Well, and you know what's...
I think it's just sad when it's like all adults, but if it's children...
It was, I mean, I would say the average age was like 20-something, probably. There was a lot, you know, there were a lot of teenagers, and there were a lot of people like my age and older, but I mean, I would peg the average age mid to late 20s,
no,
probably.
No, I mean, I was thinking people who dressed up.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, that was mostly children, but I mean, it really was... And I mean, and this is not me saying this, because I know... I'm just going to say that there was someone, we'll call him Aaron, who was going on and on about all the teenage girls dressed as witches and how hot it was.
I got a weird text message from him on Friday.
Was it the one that said, I just saw two witches make out?
Yep.
Yeah.
I got that Saturday morning, I think, actually.
I got that marriage. I just saw witches making out. The hottest thing ever. And I know that it'll peg me as a hugely geeky tool with no friends or social interaction if I say that... The best thing about it was not the vast number of girls dressed as witches as such. It was the vast number of girls at the downtown Powell's who were dressed as Nymphadora Tonks, who I, you know, a strange attraction to. Anyway, so there was that. So we go to the Powell's downtown, and it was just massive. I mean, the crowd was endless. I mean, it just stretched on for eternity. And they had a huge electronic clock that was counting down. And at about 5 minutes to midnight, there's like a horse-drawn carriage that shows up. And there's, like, a Professor McGonagall, and there's a Dumbledore, and there's, like, a Sirius Black and whatever.
How were the costumes?
The costumes are great.
Yeah.
And so the Dumbledore guy gets out of the, I'm just so sorry about this whole conversation, by the way. Let me just say that right now. I'm so sorry that this whole conversation is happening. So the Dumbledore guy gets out of the horse-drawn carriage, and he's got a huge skeleton key in his hand. That's probably, like, 2 feet long.
Oh, my God.
And he, like, walks toward the front door of the house, like, with the skeleton key above his head. And they're, like, you know, and there's, like, some Imperial March playing as he's walking towards the door. And the crowd just went, I mean, it was like Mick Jagger had just appeared. It was insane. So here's Dumbledore, like, holding the key up to the crowd. Everybody's all, you know. And it was like Benito Mussolini standing in front of the people. And so he walks up. The big clock hits midnight or 12:01 or whatever, and he, like, touches the key to the door, and the door opens, and I mean, it was insane. And so at that point, Laura and I realized that we were never going to get in time. We'd be at the 4 a.m. in line. So we're like, well, and we knew that Aaron was at Borders because he sort of had an inn there. So we're like, you know what, screw it. Let's get the car. We've seen the big event here. Let's go to Borders. The line will be, you know, the line will be shorter there. The line was shorter. The line was not short. When we got to Borders, which was at about 12:15 on the Friday night, Saturday morning, they had like a little, you know, like one of those, you will be served in X minutes. And it was, I mean, they were telling us it was like a 2.5 hour wait.
Damn.
And so we stood at Borders for a while. I ran into Jake from Couple, our sister station Couple, who was there. And we were like, so are you a nerd? Yeah. How about you? I'm a nerd too. And the air conditioning had broken down, so it's like 110 degrees inside, and everybody's tightly wrapped in a Gryffindor scarf, you know, starting to pass out. So Laura and I are like, F this, let's head to the comfort of Southeast Portland. So we drove straight into the bosom of Southeast, and we ended up getting in line at the Powell's on Hawthorne. And the line there was still long, but it was outside, which meant it wasn't stifling hot, because the Borders was like, I mean, it must have been 98 degrees in there. So we got in line at the Hawthorne Powell's. And, I mean, it was still, I mean, but we probably got into the store at 1 a.m. because you were drinking down the street. And I called Sarah, and, you know, because I had agreed to pick up the book for Sarah. And so I called Sarah, and I'm like, I got the book! And, you know, and it was like we were selling drugs or something. Like, Sarah and I met outside of a parking lot at, like, on 48th and Hawthorne. I'm like, here you go.
No, I ran into my friend on the street, too, and we were both running around, jumping up and down, clutching our Harry Potter books.
Oh, no.
So nerdy.
No, it was Goontown. I mean, really, just unbelievably. And the nerdiest thing, though, here, you want to know the nerdiest moment of the entire night, is so there I am. It's not enough that, you know, that we went home and took a nap so we'd be arrested for the Harry Potter book release. It's not enough that we hit three different Harry Potter release parties in one night. No, we stood in line for like an hour and a half outside of the Powell's on Hawthorne, finally got inside, I, you know, grabbed two copies of the book, and then they have, at the Hawthorne Powell's, they have the guy dressed as Dumbledore stamping the book with like a big stamp that verifies that you were there at midnight on the 21st of July to get it. And so I have both the books stamped, including yours, by the way, even though you weren't really there to get it. And so I open
the... Thank you, Rick.
I open the cover of the book, and Dumbledore stamps it, and then what did I do? Big picture of myself standing next to Dumbledore holding my book.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I don't have it with me. I don't have it with me.
How did you not have that with you?
No, because Laura took it with her phone, and her phone died, and so she's got to, like, recharge and send it to me. But there's, I will be posting it later this afternoon. It's a big picture of me.
You're making that your MySpace picture.
It's a big picture of me holding Harry Potter 7, doing, like, the big thumbs up to the camera, and just looking more wide-eyed and goggle-eyed than I ever look in it, because it's so hard to get me to smile, but I just got the biggest S-eating grin on my face standing next to Dumbledore at the Hawthorne Powell's. I just look like a screaming retard. There's just no getting around it. Oh, my God. Okay, let's see. Do I have any other Harry Potter notes before we just move on? Witches making out. Tonks girls are hot. Three openings. Three different things. Then we went to... after the last we bought the book, they broke the stamp. So you can... No more can anybody get their book stamped. That's a thing.
Very exciting
stuff. Only for those
stuff.
Of us who were there on the Friday night. And so, yes, so to answer your question, I am within striking distance of finishing the book. I got about... I mean, it's like 750 pages, and I'm on page like 680, so I got about 70 pages left. But it's just... And I read until 1:30 this morning, trying to get it finished, but I could feel myself edging into that zone where I was just starting to read just to finish it. And so I stopped and I'm like, you know what? As much as a pain. And see, I assumed that you had finished it.
No.
I dreaded walking in today because I knew you were going to be like, I finished it Saturday night. Why haven't you finished it, Mr. Man? So.
No, I was running around doing a bunch of stuff and then time got away from me. I was going to keep watching yesterday, but then I went out and had a couple cocktails with one of my friends and realized that I don't want to watch. I don't want to read the book in you know, any kind of altered state.
Right, right. No,
exactly.
You want to enjoy it.
I'm like, yeah, I only had a couple cocktails, but I don't, you know, want to read it and then not remember something.
I will say that it's fantastic. It really is.
It's so good.
It's probably the best of the series.
It's so uncomfortable and dark.
Oh, and it's just, yes, brutal. I mean, I don't have kids, so I don't have to worry about this, but I mean, if you started your kids on the first Harry Potter book and now you're reading this one, I mean, they're... Let's hope that they're well-grounded. There's unpleasant things in this book. So, anyway, so there you go. So I'll be done with it by tomorrow morning. By this time tomorrow, I'll be done. I'm going to go home tonight. But, yeah, the only pause I took from reading Harry Potter, I slept because I had to be back here at 8 o'clock Saturday morning, so it was a whole thing. But I napped, and then Laura and I watched Anchorman and just giggled like idiots at it. And then I resumed reading Harry Potter. So there you go. I think we're done. That's it. That's the extent of our Harry Potter. I don't think I've left anything out. But except to say this, that when I walked, I think it was Saturday, I was on Hawthorne, I went to get a haircut, and I was getting lunch or whatever, and everywhere I went was someone reading Harry Potter. Everywhere. Every coffee shop I went into the hair place to get my hair cut. Everywhere I went, there was people just, their noses just stuck right in the middle of the Harry Potter book. I mean, every single place I went to. So, all right, and we're done. Except for tomorrow when Sarah and I will both probably finish the book and we'll be discussing it.
But with no spoilers.
There will be no spoilers, I'm just saying. All right. I had this great, and let me just say this. Here's the other thing from this weekend. And then we'll have to break, even though I've gotten to nothing in this opening segment, except for Harry Potter stuff. You know that Powell's Downtown alone sold 5,000 copies, I think, over the weekend.
Wow.
I mean, it's just unreal. It's unbelievable. We got calls coming in, and then we've got somebody wants to know the status on Scotty's smoking and so forth. While we're talking about Scotty, let me just say this. I was watching Anchorman this weekend. I had a realization. Do you have that scene queued up?
Yeah.
Okay. I had a realization about Scotty. And this is the sequence in Anchorman when he meets Veronica Corningstone at the party, and he's giving her the smells of rich mahogany speech. Can you... Now, here, before you play this, here's my observation. Scotty J is Ron Burgundy. I don't mean gets drunk and tries to do an impersonation of Ron Burgundy. I don't mean like he just quotes a lot of things from the movie. I mean, honestly, and without trying to, and probably he's completely unaware of this fact, Scotty J is Ron Burgundy. Because you picture Scotty all loaded up at one of our parties trying to hit on the various well-endowed women who are walking around. It is this, if you have the...
Well, you certainly know how to compliment a woman. So if you'll excuse me.
Do you know who I am?
No, I can't say that I do.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Really?
People know me.
Well, I'm very happy for you.
Ram. Can't you see Scotty saying all of those things?
He has said those things.
Yes. That's absolutely
remember parties, people come up and be like, Scotty J just introduced himself to me. Don't you know who I am?
God damn.
All right. It's 503-733. We'll get to, let's see. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I just want to take a step back from all this Harry Potter stuff for a second. And I hope everybody's appreciating it. This is Sgt. Pepper's release. This is the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, what we're experiencing right now. Just to sit back and listen to people talk about it. And I think it's the second... Pearl Jam album.
Are you calling from Michael Vick's house?
No, I have a couple big Newfoundland dogs who see somebody out.
Cheap joke. You're right. That's the reason. I mean, because Laura had to work the next day, and she was all beat, you know, just all beat to hell. She was so tired. And I'm like, baby, you gotta go. And she's like, I'm so tired. I'm like, baby, you gotta go. You'll never be anything like this again. And you know, I was really leaning on her about going to see it, and she's glad she did because it really was a cultural event. I got to tell you this. I in my lifetime. Have never, ever, ever, ever seen a crowd like that in line for the release of any product at midnight. Not a concert ticket, not a record, not a movie, not an iPhone. Yeah, that's, I mean, that'll tell you everything right there. To put it in perspective, the crowd gathered for that book It was like five times the crowd gathered for the iPhone. I mean, that puts the whole thing, that lets you know, that's not a knock on the iPhone. That just lets you know how big the Harry Potter thing was.
Right, and I'll tell you what, I got my book, and I was sitting on my front porch yesterday morning reading it, and I kind of took a moment, and I just was thinking, how many thousands of people are doing the exact same thing with the exact same material that I'm doing right now on a collective consciousness kind of level, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Millions.
No, I mean, yeah, 8 million of those were sold over the weekend.
And you know, no one's wrapping those up and going to give them out as Christmas presents. Everybody's reading those books.
That's the other thing. And, you know, and it's so easy. And then I know that I run the risk of sounding like I'm just being lectury about this. But, I mean, I think I speak the truth when I say people will say that that's, you know, that it's hype or that it's media manufactured or whatever. But you know what? Here's why I don't believe that. Because we can all agree that reading is a thing that is inherently good for you, but that it's difficult to get children to do.
It's a cardiovascular exercise for the mind.
And I will tell you this, that no amount of advertising or hype ever got kids to eat vegetables.
Right.
And no amount of advertising or hype will get kids to read an 800-page book if they don't want to. So that's what makes this so different. It is a thing that people are legitimately, honestly into. It's not just for show.
Yeah, and I, you know, 30 years from now, we'll, you know, our grandkids or what have you will be looking at, hey, where were you when Harry Potter 7 came out?
And Sarah will be passing along the fiction that she was in line at midnight when in reality I was in line to get her book stamped for her.
Yeah.
So that's all right. All right, thank you, sir.
Have a great day, man.
You are one more. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick Emerson, the Kwisatz Haderach of talk radio.
Okay. Yes. How can I help you, my friend?
Fantastic. Actually, I was really quickly before I get to my point, as I am wont to do. I was at the Fez on Saturday night overlooking the Harry Potter crowd, and more people were standing at the windows than dancing at one point, watching the crowd.
Now, is that club across Burnside from Powell's?
Right across the street and upstairs, so it had a great view of the line wrapped all the way around the
Let me just tell you this. There's a great moment. Yeah, that's that club. And Laura and I are nerds, and so we spend a lot of time at that Powell's coffee shop, just sitting there looking through our purchases or whatever. But there's that. Yeah, that it's called the Fez.
Yeah.
So there's that, yeah, it's a club across the street, and there's a whole lot of those girls that Likas warns you about in line for that club. That's who goes there. It's a lot of girls with fake this, implanted that, and a lot of like a lot of sparkly tight skirts who will never pay for anything in their whole lives. But the Harry Potter line, as I've said, it was just immense, and Laura and I had this realization that each line was looking at the other and thinking to themselves, losers. I mean, all of the people at Harry Potter were like, look at those idiots waiting to get in there and dance. And all the Fez people, of course, were looking at us and just thinking we were dateless nerds. So, I mean, it was a real, wrong side of the tracks, right side of the tracks kind of moment.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, and I keep coming back to the thing that you say when I talk to people about it. It's just fantastic. People standing in line for a book.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I mean, and as great as other books are, you know, we'll never see anything like that again. They'll try to manufacture that again in the future. They'll try to sort of create this artificially, but it'll never happen again, probably.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of great books that were made into movies, the reason I'm calling is I need to put a call out for help to the Rick Emerson audience. I am looking for the extended, like, 3 or 4 hour version of the 1984 David Lynch movie, filmatic adaptation of the book Dune.
Why?
Why? Because I've seen the 2 hour version that's out there, the one that's, propagated. It's in all the stores and whatnot.
Right.
You can't get a hold of that really easily. But the extended version, or the longer version, that was only, I think, ever shown on TV once, that I actually saw for the first time when I was, like, 11 or 12 years old. It's just got so much more content, explains the story so much better. There's just a lot of great footage and great acting and great storyline that's missing from the two-hour version.
All right, fair enough. When I said why, I was being kind of snarky there, because Dune's not a very good movie, in my opinion, but I can see why if it was 4 hours
like
cut
David
down to
Lynch.
Two. It's not that I don't like David Lynch. I mean, it's not that, like, I hate the movie because his name's attached to it.
It doesn't seem like you like his product.
I don't really care for the movies that David Lynch makes. Yeah, that's true. But if it's a four-hour movie that was cut down to two, I can see why maybe it was crap. That does make sense.
Oh, exactly.
Have you asked Aaron Geek in the City Duran about it?
I have not. Can I just email him through Geek?
Go to geekinthecity.com, drop Aaron an email. If he can't find it for you, then probably it can't be found, sir.
Oh, that's a good idea. And if anyone else can help, please do be calling in, I suppose.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Rick.
We got a break. It's 503-73. Did we just spend 45 minutes talking about Harry Potter and Dune? Yeah. That's what that is? That's shamelessly pandering to a demographic. That's what that is. All right. Lisa Goddard on the way. A fantastic penis watch. Jim Roop, Peter Carlin, Clyde Lewis, Tim Riley at the Noon News Hour, and more. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson. the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970, and I'm getting nothing but tune emails. You can also email us if you like. It's rick at rickemerson.com. Still to come, Tim Riley in the new News Hour, CNN radio correspondent Jim Root, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, Clyde Lewis, top five magic songs, and probably the best penis watch we've had in, I don't know, 3-4 months. And it has a great photo, not of the member in question, but of the owner of the member in question. And it's from the New York Post, so you know it's unimpeachable. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello and how are you?
Hello, how are you?
How was your time off? You were on vacation or something, or were you just rotating through a couple days off?
Right, no, I was at the beach in North Carolina for a girlfriend of mine's wedding, and I have to say, people correctly predicted, and it was gorgeous, amazing wedding, but there were probably a good 5 events between, for me, I wasn't even in the wedding, between Thursday and Saturday, and it really did make me want to elope.
Lee,
get it done.
There's a terrible joke I could make, but I won't.
perhaps you've made it in omission.
Do you know why melons get married?
Why do melons get married?
Because they can't elope.
Oh, that's great.
All right, there you go. And I don't really tell jokes, so that'll hold us for like the next 6 months. I didn't even know North Carolina had a beach.
What?
I have no idea. I don't really. Let's be honest.
Where
I don't really.
North Carolina is exactly.
Who thinks about North Carolina?
Where in the map is in your head? Is it?
No idea.
Is it not like next to the ocean with extended amount of ocean front property?
No. In fact, let me tell you this: that we had a bit on this program a while back where our own Scotty J came in and engaged in a spelling bee against a fourth grader, and that's a spelling bee, by the way, which he failed spectacularly. He was routed by a fourth grader here, but I really have to say, in terms of geography, I'm really that equivalent. I'm no better than that at geography. I got no notion. My spatial relation skills are almost, they don't even chart. They're almost non-existent.
So is it kind of near Kansas in your map, North Carolina?
Can I just tell you, now, I know you're saying that as kind of a joke, kind of a jape, but really, in my head, everything that is not where I'm currently at is just sort of in this gray area that is sort of undefined. I mean, I really have no idea. Somebody was asking me the other day, because I went to North Dakota one time, it was like a radio thing and blah, blah, blah. I had to go to Fargo. And somebody was talking to me about Fargo, and they said, well, you know, it's really cold there because it's like, I guess because it's sort of north. Is it north? I don't even, I've been there and I don't know. So I really have no idea. I am the very epitome of the ugly American. If it's not a place where I am currently living, I don't think about it. And, you know, there are those stories that come out, I don't know, like 3-4 times a year. There's three stories that come out about every 3 months. One of them is that Britain has a lot of police cameras and there's fears of Big Brother.
Right.
Drudge has to run that about every 6 weeks or so.
Right.
There's a story about that flower that smells like a rotting body that supposedly only blooms once every 10 years, yet the story is in the news like every month.
Right.
And thirdly, there'll be some story about how, you know, 98% of Americans can't even find Afghanistan on a map. And you know what? I am solidly in that 98% camp.
In there. Well, you know, maybe it'll help you to consider, when you're trying to think of beach states that are not anywhere near you, instead, when someone asks you, you know, about the beach or mentions the beach, instead, substitute hurricane. Like, states that you think of with a lot of mobile homes, which is probably what you're thinking of when you think of the hurricanes, are really beach states. So,
I suppose.
So there you go.
I think
the Carolinas get the hurricane, so you know they got beach.
And I kind of know where the South is, although I think attitudinally my brain also doesn't work like everybody else's. Let me ask you this. When you think of the South, do you think of Florida typically as being part of the South? I mean, I know geographically it's the southernmost state, but I don't think most people sort of culturally think of Florida as being the South. They think of Florida as being its own separate, like, republic.
It's definitely not the Cotton South. Florida is not a place where there was a lot of cotton.
That's why they
kind of are on teetering on the edge. But there are some parts of Florida that are about as Confederate as you can get.
Really?
But they are... They are very specific areas, and you're right. Most of Florida is not as southern as, like, the Cotton South, as you would call the Cotton.
So I guess the upshot of this is I'm just not very bright. So.
I don't know about that. Perhaps geography is not your game. Perhaps you are an American, again, concerned with your town.
I'm not just an American, Lisa. I'm an American.
Oh, you're an American. I can.
Yeah, I'm American. That's with a U-H. All right. Well, let's talk about...
What are we talking about today? I don't even know.
Well, there's a couple of things. There's what Laura Caviezel thinks we're talking about.
Right.
And then what we're really talking about. But let's talk about Democratic Senator Russ Feingold, who is right on. He's piling on to this, sort of this cosmetic legislation bandwagon, which is going to do nothing. He's introducing this censure resolution,
right.
Basically just, I don't know, calling, which is sort of the legislative equivalent of just kind of calling George Bush and his mother a name and then waggling your fingers in your ear, right? It has no effect.
that's really pretty true. I can't combat that. That's true. That's what it is. But yeah, it's a big slam on the president. But he's pretty much on his own, and you know that Democrats like Harry Reid love that. You know, they're happy for Russ Feingold to do this, but they're not going to sign on.
I guess
it's too in your face.
There is a phrase in the sales world called selling past the close. And selling past the close is when you've already convinced the guy to buy the car, and he's sitting down there and he's got his pen out, and you've already said, hey, what's it going to take to put you in this car today, and how much are you prepared to, don't you love that new car smell, and the guy is already there, he's ready to sign, and yet you keep making the sales pitch to him, and it's a waste of everyone's time because the guy has already agreed to buy the car.
Right.
It seems to me, and I'm a big bleeding heart, as everybody knows, but it does seem to me that this business of taking time and money to do things like introducing censure resolutions, which are going to have no effect. I mean, everybody's kind of sold on the fact that the war is a bad idea. Everybody's kind of sold on the fact, even I think most Republicans, if they were to be honest, sold on the fact that it's not doing a whole lot of good and that the administration didn't tell certainly the whole truth in getting us there. It just seems like they Democrats sort of made the point. It seems like this effort would better be expended trying to do something, you know, that had tangible results.
Here's the thing: is it in a political sense, it does have tangible results for the Democrats to keep up this kind of thing, to keep up the negative attacks on the president, which you know many Democrats say are very well founded, but to keep up this kind of pressure. Some people would say, well, this kind of pressure is ultimately what's going to change the president, make the president change his policy. This is maybe your altruists out there. But I think most people on Capitol Hill see it as a win-win because maybe it'll affect things in Iraq, perhaps. But it certainly helps Democrats going into next year's elections. And so they you know, so just keep the cannons firing.
All right. So just so you think it's sort of a cumulative, sort of an attrition-based effect? Perhaps.
Yes. If you want to get artful, a bit of a Monet, you know, just keep painting those dots, and from far away, voters will get the picture.
Could this program possibly get any snootier?
It could.
I was really going to reference this Aristotle fable, but you know what? I'm not going to do that. That does segue really neatly, though, into this thing that I wanted to bring up. The latest Associated Press poll, and this is actually not terrible. This is actually as of last Thursday, so it is 3 or 4 days old, but an Associated Press poll as of last week found that nearly a quarter of Republicans are unwilling to back top-tier hopefuls Rudy Giuliani, Fred Thompson, John McCain, or Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
The top GOP pick among likely voters is none of the above.
Mm-hmm.
None of the above.
Can you reference the movie? The None of the Above movie?
Can I reference the movie? How little you must think of me.
Oh, see? It's one of my favorites. I made my nieces watch it not a year ago.
You were referring, of course, to the classic 80s comedy Brewster's Millions with John Candy and Richard Pryor.
John Candy and Richard Pryor. Okay, anyway,
yes. That's a fantastic film, by the way.
It is.
Maybe not so much now. If I went back and watched Brewster's Millions now, it might not hold up.
I think it does. There are some moments where you're like, I don't know about that, but for the most part, it holds up.
I will say this, that the thing about Brewster's Millions starring Richard Pryor and John Candy is this. I think it probably was great to me because I was fairly young when it came out. I think the reason that that movie perhaps didn't perform more successfully at the box office is, at that time in his career, I think that really, if you were to imagine Richard Pryor being given $30 million, I can think of a whole lot more interesting things that Richard Pryor would do with that money at that point in his life. You know what I mean?
That's completely true.
I mean, really. I mean, let's be honest. It'd be like giving Rick James $30 million. So we've got the Democratic race where Hillary Clinton
Republican,
still holds a sizable lead over Barack Obama, but the GOP has none of the above as their leading contender. And is that good or bad for them?
It's not good.
But it's
still very early. And if you think about really the last two, you know, open presidential elections, Bill Clinton really came out of nowhere. He was seen as a pretty much a loser at this point in the campaign, and he really came back, got it done. George Bush was way down going into South Carolina's primary. That's even, you know, months from now. So I think anything can still happen, but it's not great.
Could it be good for the GOP because it by having no clear leader so far, no clear contender, that it means that, in other words, if there's nobody,
so they have a lot of viable candidates.
Well, and if there's no front runner right now, then they're not going to get attacked. In other words, you know, the attacking doesn't begin until they think that they found a target. And if there's no target, there's really nobody to be tarnished at this point.
There may be something to that, certainly, but sadly, As much as I really think negative campaigning has been out of hand for probably decades now, at least two decades, the fact is that the polls show that negative campaigning does work, and it does work late. So, which is good news for Democrats, they can go after the Republican nominee anytime they want, whenever that person is chosen. They love to have this high ground right now as long as they can have it. They don't have to attack anyone. I think the bigger problem for Republicans, it's not just that they don't have a front runner and that sort of none of the above is their leading contender, but the fact that they're really falling behind in fundraising compared to the Democrats, and Democrats have more candidates who are raising more money more quickly, and Republicans generally are the ones with the bucks. So that's a problem for them, and they're going to need to turn that around to really be able to compete in dollars once we get two candidates going down the stretch.
I mean, I know that we're getting way, way, way ahead of ourselves here, but really I was thinking about this when you were talking about the GOP having trouble raising money.
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't possibly imagine what they're going to campaign on. Do you know what I mean? It seems like all the GOP.
Well, I can tell you, yes.
Well, they're going to campaign on "We're not Hillary." I mean, that's it. That's the right. I mean, there's really
that'll
what are they going to point to?
Well, that'll certainly be in there. But I think that Republicans, I think their strongest arguments are on national security, not Iraq, of course, but on terrorism. And I think Rudy Giuliani does have a pretty good rap that a lot of people can listen to. So does Mitt Romney. Even John McCain, when you talk about national security, and that issue is still up there. Republicans and Democrats have a problem on immigration. So depending on who the Republican candidate is, they may be able to exploit that against a Democrat. That maybe there was a Democrat who was a senator now, and nothing got done. You know, I could see Giuliani or Romney going after something like that. So I think there's some potential vulnerable points for Democrats. I think Republicans will have something to run on, and the fact that none of the Republicans running is either president or president right now helps them.
Giuliani really is just a master, though. I saw him, there was that speech he gave, I don't know, just the last week I think this happened, and somebody asked him a question about funding for AIDS research, and I swear to God, within the space of 20 seconds, he turned it into a thing about 9/11 and how he was there to save the city. I mean,
he's got to be careful, though. He can't push it too hard, but right now he's got a good set of words.
And I know you got a run here. We have one quick comment for you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show with Lisa Goddard. What is your comment, sir or madam, as the case may be?
That would be sir, thanks.
Hi.
Hey, Ricky, Lisa. Hey, I just wanted to say I was stuck in traffic just now behind a minivan with Obama 08 bumper sticker on the back. Pardon me.
And? Yes?
I just thought that was funny. It's Obama 08 already on there.
Oh,
he's not
God,
even the official candidate yet, and they're already sticking cars with bumper stickers.
You know, really looking at the screen, I felt this call was going to be much more glittering and entertaining than this, sir.
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm not even in traffic anymore, so.
Oh, come on. I'm all big on the participation. You know, maybe it's that it's made it out to Portland, but I'll tell you, in D.C., we started seeing those bumper stickers last year.
Well,
it's really been, you know, but D.C. is a weird town.
Portland really is a town, though, where people just start putting their opinions out, like, early and often. We started seeing those 12009, you know, Bush's last day in office,
right,
bumper stickers, like 3.5 years ago, I started seeing those. So, all right, well, there you go. Well, I always do like to end your segments on a kind of, sort of a note, so mission accomplished.
A fade out.
All right, Lisa, glad to have you back, and glad you're back from North Carolina, which is next to an ocean.
It is next to a very large ocean.
All right. We'll talk to you very soon. Thank you, sister.
Bye.
All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Well done, Scotty. Way to pass along a firecracker of a call there.
Maybe he had something else and then got nervous.
I saw a car. And then it just kind of went nowhere. It's 503-733-2970. We're so behind. We should break now. We'll come back after this. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. It's noon already. Holy God. Later on, Peter Carlin, Clyde Lewis, Jim Roop, the top five and more. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. And then I got spotted at
the Harry Potter thing.
Well, yeah, a couple of times at the one on Powell, or the one at Powell's downtown. And then we just figured out I said I wasn't going to talk about this anymore, but we figured we were never going to get in at the Powell's downtown because there was like 5,000 people. So we go over to Borders, and there was a guy there named John who we ran into outside. My wife and I didn't. He's like, "Hey, I thought you were going to the Powell's downtown." And I was like, "Well, it's too crowded. We had to come over here." So, before the night was even over, I was actually spotted moving from one Harry Potter release to another. So people observed me making the whole tour. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen of the Ministry of Truth, it's the one, the only, Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
One private bus passenger got hurt after a dump truck rear ended it in Southeast this morning. It happened around 11 o'clock at Southeast 34th and Holgate. Six people were aboard the bus at the time. One passenger was taken to the hospital with injuries. No further details are known.
That's the 17, of course. That's right by that place.
Meanwhile, a California couple and several children were not injured when their motorhome burst into flames. This happened in the worst possible place.
What do you mean, the worst possible place for a fire to happen, or just the worst possible place in general?
Both.
Those are two different things.
Southeast Powell and 99th Avenue.
Bam!
At least they made it a little bit above 82nd.
The hat trick.
It could have been a little bit worse.
Yeah.
They were on their way from Palm Springs to Canada with several children. It was burning out the back. Thank goodness we got the kids out there. We tended them on there.
Here's the thing. Where were they going? From where to where?
They were going from Palm Springs.
Oh, not the Palm Springs of Portland.
But
the actual Palm Springs.
Yeah, they're Californians.
So they were going. Well, you know what it is? It's passing through Southeast Portland that made that happen. That's the thing, is it's passing through like a, you know, it's like the people pass through a wormhole in the galaxy. It's just, once they got to Powell and 82nd, all the forces of evil are just concentrated on that area.
Highway to hell.
Seriously. You pass through there, and it's like a Maximum Overdrive where the Earth passes through the tail of a comet. All things begin to go bad. Like ants under a magnifying glass if you live there.
Well, so this motorhome was worth $450,000.
No, it wasn't. No motorhome is worth $450,000.
Oh, sure they are.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they weren't from here, though, you said. They're
from California.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
And because they're from California, everything's marked up anyway.
So this is not a mobile home or a camper or a trailer, but in fact a motorhome. When I was a kid, let me just tell you this. When I was a kid, I thought motorhomes were the most luxurious, glamorous thing on earth.
Mm-hmm.
There was this window of time. My next-door neighbors had a motorhome, and we only had a camper. And I felt all of this horrifying and embarrassing class distinction. Because the camper, I felt, was trashy, but I felt the motorhome was all kinds of upscale and posh. So, does it have a picture of the motorhome?
I saw one on the website. It's one of those huge things.
The difference between, to me growing up, the difference between a camper and a motorhome was that a camper had like a little, like a separate, like...
Sorry.
Sarah blowing on her nails right into the microphone.
I didn't. I had an eyelash on my finger.
While I was...
My microphone is now off.
Fantastic. I was just going to say that... Well, never mind. Blah, 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 blah. I was going to say
I'm
that...
I'm sorry.
It was a stupid observation that the camper had this sort of, like, toilet that you would set outside. Like this sort of... What's the word I'm looking for? But like a, you know...
Portable?
Portable. Yeah. Chamber pot. Never mind. I'm done.
No, they don't set the toilet outside on one of these things.
All right.
It's self-contained. So they're trying to figure out what to do next.
I'm finished.
I would say the thing to do next is to leave Powell Boulevard.
Yeah, they know they should just stay there. Just settle in. Get a house.
The Burnside Bridge, originally said to be closed until August 6th, was mysteriously reopened today. There's no explanation, but that's good. Well, it should be asked. Oh, there must be a major traffic jam out toward IKEA today because this is the big day it happens. It's on I-205 and Airport Way. The first 100 people in line got a free chair, and the first 100 kids got a heart-shaped stuffed pillow.
It's like a Harry Potter release for mouth breathers.
Yeah, basically. Registration started at 8 o'clock today for Washington's gay and lesbian couples to begin domestic partners under a new state law that took effect today. Couples registered as domestic and partners get enhanced rights, including hospital visitation and very little else. To be registered, they must share a home, not be married, and must be at least 18.
So this is in Washington State?
Washington State,
all
yeah.
Right.
Here's something that sounds kind of evil. In an effort to curtail identity theft, the 2005 legislature directed the State Department of Transportation to use facial recognition software before issuing driver's licenses. The deadline for putting these changes into effect is the summer of next year, but the conversion to the new system has already started. So as soon as your, this is an Oregon, as soon as your driver's license photograph is taken, the software will begin performing detailed mapping of your facial features. These images will be compared with the already archived digital pictures of all state drivers. The computer will spit out possible matches, and if it looks like a fraud is being attempted, they don't issue the license, and they call the authorities on you.
Wait, so is that so? If I show up to get, well, hold on, when does my driver's license expire? So they're saying my driver's license photo, well, of course, the picture's already on file.
Well, you and I both got them a couple of years ago.
I just got mine this year.
Mine,
I think they go for 10 years.
Mine expires in 5 years.
No.
Okay, but so you're saying that if somebody goes in to get a driver's license and claims to be me, mm-hmm. Then it examines their face and matches it to the face of me in the database?
Yes. Well,
that's just creepy. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rick, because first of all, does that happen? I guess maybe it does. I guess maybe identity theft does. But who, I mean, I don't know. It's just a weird thing. I just don't like the idea of my face being scanned by some weird, Cyberdyne Systems computer. And especially because I don't really, it's not like I really trust the state to keep all that information safe.
Scan in progress.
Yeah, seriously. Because, the next thing will be, like when I try to get.
It'll be found in a dumpster in Beaverton somewhere.
Totally. Well, I was going to say that, I'll be here trying to get into the break room here to get some coffee, and I'll have to put my eye into a slot and it'll scan the base of my retina or something.
Jeez. Entrance denied.
Seriously. Let's see. What are we doing here? Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I'm surprised Ken didn't have this in his news this morning down in San Jose. I was actually second or third in line.
Tim, why didn't you have that in your news?
It may be.
This man was in line in San Jose.
For Harry Potter. Mugged for it after I got it.
Oh, hell no. Oh.
No.
Oh, that sucks. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Pull the pistol.
Wait, hold on. Let's back up here.
This happened
I only had
you.
One book. I don't know why the hell there was five of them.
Okay, let's stop here. So this is in San Jose, Friday night.
Yep, just after
Friday night, Saturday morning. Okay, so you're in line for the Harry Potter book.
Yep.
Was this at a chain store? Don't name the store, but you're at a chain store?
Yes.
Okay, a chain store. You buy the book inside the store, presumably, and then what, you walk out to go to your car?
Yep.
What time?
Oh, geez, it was way, I don't even remember, it was soon after they opened the store. I didn't stay to browse or anything in the store.
And so then, you're walking to your car, and what happened?
Get to open, reach down to put the key in the door. Hear some voices, turn around. Guy's got a pistol pointed right at me.
Was it just one guy and he has a gun?
There were like five teenagers. Someone could have been, maybe 18, but we want the book.
Is that did they ask you for your money?
No, they just wanted the book. They didn't care about the money. They wanted the book.
So
apparently they thought I'd spent the money on the book.
They had enough money to buy a gun, but I mean, I'm trying
they
to...
Didn't, what it is, they were laughing. They didn't want to wait in line.
That's insane.
So, it isn't. Well, there were probably at least 300-400 people in the line.
Geez.
I mean, the line wrapped around.
Oh, no. Oh, no, trust me. I went to three different stores.
They didn't
want to
wait.
And so, I mean, obviously you just said, like, okay, and just handed it over.
It was like you throw a frisbee.
Yeah.
Pretty much like that.
And so then they just vanished. They didn't say anything else. They didn't ask for anything else.
Ran off.
And so now do you live in Portland?
Yes.
So what? Now were you in San Jose for some other purpose, or?
Yes.
And so did you? Did you? I mean, did you? You called the cops, obviously, and reported this.
Yep. Totally.
Boy, that's...
I'm looking for it now.
For a friggin' Harry Potter book.
That's just insane. That's crazy, is what that is. So, were you able to... Did you get...
Wait in line. It's like, you know, hell, the people being in line probably had to wait for... Who knows? Like, God knows. You know, we were there long enough as it was. These people... Some people were there. The first guy was there for 2 days ahead of time.
Ah, that's
we visit with the people online. You know, talk about the books.
I mean, did you get the they pulled the gun out? Now, did you get the feeling that they were really serious about it?
The pistol looked real to me. That was enough for me. I'm not going to argue over a book when somebody
seriously
got a weapon pointing at you.
That's crazy. Did you get a replacement book at least?
Yes, I did.
I was going to say, because I'd offer to lend you mine when I finish it tonight.
Yeah.
Well,
That was real. They were real cool about it. It was a little bit scary. I mean, I've never had anybody point a pistol at you. You know, it's a teenager, so God knows what they're going to do. If
they're all hopped up on goofballs and so forth.
Goofballs or Coke or Coca-Cola, I mean, or Pop Rocks or something.
Well, Jesus. Well, I'm glad you got it replaced, sir. Tim's looking for the story, so... Well, I'm glad it all turned out. Glad it all turned out.
They may or may not be there. I don't know, but...
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Glad things turned out for you. I was going to make an Expelliarmus joke there, but then I chose not to do that. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, I'm looking at the San Jose Mercury News.
Seriously, what am I going to say to that guy? Well, sorry. I was going to give him my book, but apparently they gave him another one. That's insane. That's what that is. Okay. Well, there you go. So your weekend was better than that, whoever you are. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, thank goodness you bought it in Portland.
Sorry, I'm looking at the... I'm flitting through the
I'm looking
sand,
for
the Good Morning Silicon Valley news, too, and I don't see anything.
I don't see anything.
All right.
Hmm.
Jesus. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, I'll keep looking. So, I guess we're done. Where were we, anyway?
I have no idea. Oh, you were talking about blah, 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 and then a motorhome caught on fire.
Oh, yeah. Then a boy fell off a cliff in the Ecola State Park just north of Cannon Beach this weekend. He wasn't identified, and they don't know while he fell off, but he tumbled 30 feet down.
The end.
Two men were shot last night in what police believe to be a gang activity in North Portland. We shouldn't be surprised at that. Canadian officials have recaptured a former U.S. Army Ranger accused of masterminding a takeover-style bank robbery. Apparently, this fellow has a dual Canadian citizenship. He faces conspiracy and robbery charges. He robbed a bank in Tacoma and then escaped to Canada. Family members are singing the praises of a chihuahua who jumped between a child and a rattlesnake. A 10-month-old chihuahua named Zoe got bit on the forehead, and she survived, though. She only weighs 4.5 pounds. The toddler was playing by the bird bat when Zoe darted between him and a rock on the other side. There was a rattlesnake on the rock, and the tiny dog had jumped in and taken the snake bite, so the boy didn't. And as soon as she went in, she yipped and came running back. The grandfather said he ran over, grabbed the toddler, then took him out of harm's way. Then he grabbed a pipe and took care of the snake.
Fantastic. Is that the grandfather?
Yeah, and Zoe has a 1-inch scar after the attack.
But the dog's going to be okay.
They hope so. It's, let's see. Oh, she has since recovered from the snake bite, so that is a good thing.
I love the idea of the grandfather just beating the rattlesnake to death with a pipe, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
They're going to keep a close eye on the backyard from now on. It's not the first time that there's been a snake bite on this property.
Where was it? There are certain... Nature has ways of telling you to move. Where was this?
Loveland, Colorado.
Yeah, that's it, man. Rattlesnakes are freaky. Rattlesnakes are really, really, really freaky. I've only had one when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. I had one encounter. It sort of zizzed across the path where I was walking. I was down by a riverbank with my dad. And one just sort of went, like, right across me, just darted across from one place to another. That's a creature you just let mind its own business. All right, here's Tim Riley.
It's time for a snuff watch.
Here's your snuff watch for, Monday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Well, Tammy Faye Baker passed away Friday after battling cancer for more than a decade. She was 65. She came to fame in the late 1970s as half of the evangelical team of Jim and Tammy Baker. They founded the PTL Empire in Fort Mill, South Carolina. They grew to include a hotel, campground, and a Christian theme park. On the Jim and Tammy TV show, she sang about Jesus and shed countless mascara-tinged tears. Bringing ever greater support and donations from the faithful and mounting ridicule from skeptics. In the late 1960s, the first couple of Christian TV were in disgrace amid a flurry of damaging headlines. Jim Baker had a sexual encounter with the church secretary, Jessica Hahn, and he and associates had paid hush money to keep her quiet. And the PTL had defrauded thousands of followers by selling lifetime memberships in Grand Heritage Hotel. Through the years, Messner called on her study, Christianity, to get her through one crisis after another. Her imprisonment and breakup of their 30-year-old marriage in 1992, her own addiction to tranquilizers, the 1996 conviction and jailing of her husband, Roe, on federal fraud charges, her battle with cancer and her own health problems. She was laid to rest, it says here, on Friday. So that must have happened very quickly. Her former manager, Joe Spots, said Messer was a very smart person.
It was Mensa IQ. People don't realize that. But Tammy Faye was absolutely brilliant. But above all, loving, loving, loving.
So Friday they buried her?
That's what it says.
What,
here.
Did they just have the hole dug and they were just waiting for her?
Maybe so.
She just spent the last weeks of her life in a lawn chair next to a grave.
Mm-hmm.
You just kick me in whenever I'm done. That's horrible. I mean...
So when did she die, Friday?
We were saying, well, she's only got days left. That was Friday at 3 o'clock.
She was already dead? Wait, what time did she die on Friday?
No, she wasn't dead on Larry King.
Well, who's really to say? She did look like a spitting image puppet, though. Man, you see her on Larry King?
Yeah.
I've got enough distance from it now that I can make some sort of black jokes about it. Boy, goddamn, though, when I saw her
soon.
Is it too soon?
I think so.
Oh. Never mind.
Well, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say...
Well, you weren't going to say anything mean.
No, right? Just that she looked...
It was the most awful thing ever.
The only thing I was going to say about it, I wasn't going to be mean. I was just going to say that she's like the worst I've ever seen anybody look ever. Ever. Ever.
She doesn't even seem like she should have been upright and talking.
I really... Yeah. And
it was the worst TV appearance since Rock Hudson, I think.
Yeah, Rock Hudson. Boy, that's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, he looked terrible towards me. Who else looked awful?
And then his PR person said, that's the way Mr. Hudson likes to look. Slim and trim.
Yes. And transparent. Just read a newspaper right through that guy at the end. You know who else looked bad at the end? This is the bleakest high concept topic ever. What celebrities looked the worst at the end, right as they hovered at death's door? You know, that does remind me of something funny, though. A funny thing happened to me on the way to the grave. I was looking at the Inquirer last night, as I always do. And
between Harry Potter readings?
Between Harry Potter readings and viewings of Anchorman.
What was queuing up?
Yeah, I know. I was reading the Inquirer. Was it last night or this morning? It all blurs together. I got to bed at like 2:30. Let me just tell you that right now.
You sound a little loopy.
Well, let me just tell you this. I want to give a little backstory here. I went to bed at 2:30. My wife had to be to work at 4 a.m., so she had to get up at 3 a.m. So I got to bed at around 2:15, 2:30. Half an hour later, the alarm went off because Laura had to get up to go to work. So... I did not really get to sleep until around 3:30 this morning, and I had to be here at 8. So I'm a little giddy today. So it might have been this morning, actually. It was just, I won't identify where it was, but there is a store at which Sarah and I both shop occasionally.
Fred Meyer?
No, I will not identify the store. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that one. And one of the guys who runs the register...
Oh,
it's like,
man.
It's like you think he's retarded, and then you realize
he's just retarded?
No, he's just really
dumb.
No, he's
the manager.
I think he is, actually. And you realize he's just really, really, really...
Talking to him.
Unbelievably dumb. You just realize it is just like full-on idiocracy dumb.
It's the definition of mouth breather.
Yeah, he literally is a mouth breather.
And I never get anything in a bag because he takes about 10 minutes to undo the bag. It looks like the most complicated thing in the world.
And he calls it a bag. He asks me, do you want a bag? But here's the thing about that guy, real quickly, and I know I'm off the point here, but I'm just going to say.
I want to hear about the mouth breather.
He's not retarded. Because at first.
Are you sure?
No, at first you think to yourself, you're like, how nice. They've given a job to one of God's feeble creatures. And then, but no, you realize he's just really, really, really stupid.
And I've noticed that everyone that comes in seems to resent him as much as
always. And here's the thing. When he gives me my change. I'll buy something there and the guy will give me my change. And I do everything I can not to let his skin touch mine because I feel like his stupidity is catching. Like, I feel like his stupidity might rub off on me somehow. So I'll be like, here's your change. You know, and he's just... And can I just sum this guy up in one sentence?
Yes, please.
I've never seen him do it, but I will guarantee you, I know it's the lunch hour. I've never seen him do it.
I'm not listening. Yeah.
You don't even know what I'm going to say.
Okay, what?
I've never seen him do it. Here's this guy doing a nutshell.
Pretend you're listening to Dennis Miller.
I'll guarantee you that 8 or 12 times a day, this guy, like, scratches his crotch and then sniffs his fingers.
What?
I'll guarantee you.
Who thinks about that?
I'll guarantee you he does.
Why do you talk about
that? I used to have a cousin who did that.
I won't shop in such a place.
That's another reason why I don't like to touch money that he's handled.
He doesn't put the mayonnaise on my sandwiches.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. No, because we have those deli sandwiches there, and he's always like, put some mayonnaise on the sandwich, and he'll give me the mayonnaise packets. He's weird.
Let's quit talking.
God damn.
Okay, anyway, so anyway, I was looking at the National Enquirer, though, to get back to Tammy Faye being dead. I'm sorry, Tammy Faye, that your snuff watch has been sullied by my discussion of that guy's crotch. But they had... I wonder if it's some sort of mark of status as a celebrity when you make the front of the Enquirer with the so-and-so's painful last days. And it's always someone that, like, you never even heard was dying, and you suspect that they're really not. But this week, it's Merv Griffin. So it's a lot of Merv Griffin's painful last days.
Oh, that might be true.
And it's a photograph of him where he's clearly, like, sneezing, and they've just taken one for, like, where he goes, hey, you know, and then they get the one shot of him going like, eh, and it looks like he's about to die, but you get the feeling he was just clearing his throat or something. So, but celebrities, you know who else looked bad at the very end? Liberace looked really bad at the end, and he blamed it all on a watermelon diet. I remember that was Liberace's effort. He goes, well, I'm on this diet where I eat a lot of watermelon. And, I mean, he just looked terrible. But Tammy Faye, it looked so bad that it can't even be made grimly funny, not even on this program. I mean, she looked, and I know that we were rehashing a little bit of what we talked about on Friday, but, I mean, like so many other people said, I literally flinched when she came on the screen. Because they were talking to Tammy Faye Messner, you know, said Larry King. And then they showed her, and...
Somebody gave Larry the wrong information.
Yeah. Yes, you know, you're talking to the Crypt Keeper, Larry. I pulled back from the screen. It was so horrible. So I've made a decision now, by the way. You should know this. Because cancer will kill us all someday. So I've made this decision. I'm going to get, like, a really jovial picture of myself taken. Like, maybe the picture of me giving the thumbs up with Dumbledore on Friday night. And someday, when I have a terrible life-destroying cancer, if I'm ever interviewed in the cancer stage, I'm just going to have a huge photograph of myself with a big thumbs up, and I'll just, you know, it's like the witnesses who testify before Congress, like those mob guys will speak from behind a screen. I'm just going to speak from behind a huge picture of myself, sort of Wizard of Oz style. Just a big picture of me, like, you know, just giving the thumbs up and a big toothy smile, and I will speak to Larry King, who will still be alive at that point. I'll speak to him from behind a huge picture of myself. That's exactly how I'm going to handle it. But Tammy Faye, I mean, and she didn't even smoke. That's what sucks, man. She gets lung cancer and doesn't even smoke. I mean, that just...
Didn't it start with colon cancer?
Colon cancer, which then spread to her lungs. I mean, so there you go. Cancer is sort of the Borg of diseases. There's just no...
So there'll be a choice of what you say after you die? Like, can I choose a CD game exchange or a Vizo commercial? Will those little buttons be on your grave?
Have my tombstone sponsored. No. Rick Emerson's pithy last words brought to you by Rick Emerson's epitaph. I thought you were asking if after I died you could have, like, you could do endorsements. Can I have the Vizo Can I have the Vizo account after you're dead, Rick?
Oh, I couldn't do it justice.
Fantastic. I'll find some business that serves lots of meat. I'll just leave me that. To Tim Riley, I leave my claim jumper account. Are we still in the snuff watch?
I think it's time to close it.
Yeah. Do you remember one final note here before we close at the snuff watch? Here's an 80s quiz for you. What was the one extravagance and indulgence that every media outlet talked about with PCO? Because remember, with every story, there's a detail. With the crazy astronaut, it was that she wore diapers. Mm-hmm. What was the one, because they kept talking about how they built their followers from PTL out of millions and then blew it on a bunch of extravagances. What was the one thing they always mentioned? Do you remember? There was this one detail.
I don't remember.
It was an air-conditioned doghouse. That was the one thing the media always hit. PTL's extravagances included an air-conditioned doghouse. And that was like the thing they all, that's what hung them, was the fact that they were able, they had like a picture, like, here we go, and it's a doghouse with an air conditioner. And that was, and they just pointed at that, and that's what hung them. And then they built a water park. That's the other thing I remember seeing. They built, for Jesus.
Well, that's not too much to ask.
No.
Jesus would have wanted that.
Jesus needs more water parks. All right, and I know I've said this a billion times, but I don't think I had the audio of this, but I interviewed Tammy Faye once a long time ago, and she was just really cool, really funny, and so it sucks. So cancer sucks, and Tammy Faye's dead, and there you go. There's the end of that. This is Snuff Watch. All right, back at this with more of the new news hour. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, subject only this email is the 39th and Powell Safeway. Maybe someone else commenting on my luscious earlobes. Rick, I swear to God, I was buying a lotto ticket near the customer service desk at the 39th and Powell Safeway as two of Southie's finest were buying a Western Union MoneyGram. This is what I heard. Where's this MoneyGram going, sir? Nigeria? Nigeria? Yes, all of it. Fantastic.
Oh, man.
It's a 25-ish man with a wife beater. They were both looking around in a guilty fashion. I love Southeast Portland. As do I, sir. As do I. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch for Monday.
Ugh, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you...
It's just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
David Lynch is apparently working on a definite Twin Peaks complete series DVD. Here's the skinny it says here. So, since CBS released the Twin Peaks season 2 DVD set a few months back, fans have had mixed reactions to the fact that the special features were deeply unsatisfying for many who had to wait for the better part of the decade for the set, and the fact that the first season and the pilot are no longer in print for the U.S. market. Well, all this will soon be remedied. When IF Magazine was at the CBS party, they spoke to Magican Amick, who's Shelley on Twin Peaks, and she told them about a definite DVD edition that's being worked on, which will have the complete series plus the pilot. Even better, this is the first DVD release where David Lynch himself is directing some of the bonus material.
You know, there's nothing more...
so excited.
There's nothing worse at all. Not one single thing in the history of the universe that's worse than unsatisfying bonus features on a DVD, and I mean that sincerely.
It's got to be stopped.
No, it just sucks. Especially, I mean, there have been DVDs that I've actually resisted buying, even though I want to own them, because I don't... It's like they put out this terribly shoddy version of Network on DVD about 10 years ago. And as much as I love that movie, I mean, it is one of my top three films of all time. I just refused to buy it because I knew that at some point they would. And first of all, I don't want to support that. I don't want to give money to that. They're just putting out the bare bones crap version of a movie. So I held out and I waited until they put out that 30th anniversary version, which is fantastic. And then That Thing You Do came out on DVD like... whatever, 8-9 years ago, and it's just a terribly underwhelming version. I didn't buy that. And then, let me just say this. As much as I love That Thing You Do, they put out that great director's 2-disc set, about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, we were all gaga over. I bought it. And then the worst thing about it is that I don't know what I point to explain this, but they claimed... And in fact, I think if you go to Amazon.com, it still says on the specifications that there is a feature-length audio commentary on the That Thing You Do movie. It's not there. For some reason, they recorded it, and it never got put on, which just irritates me. So I wait, you know, like 10 years, I buy the deluxe edition of the DVD, and yet there still is no commentary, which to me is like the definitive bonus feature. So
it's all very frustrating.
So I do, as much as I'm not a Twin Peaks fan, I do share the pain of people who've been waiting for that. There's nothing worse than waiting for something, especially when there's no reason for the delay. What's the holdup? Sorry. I'm getting all angry about it, and it's not even a show that I care about. I'm just saying, it's like Saint Elsewhere. Saint Elsewhere is that way to me, which is probably my favorite television series of all time. It's been off the air for 20 years. I mean, they canceled it 20 years ago, and it's still, they still, I think it just now put it season one. Don't understand the delay with these things.
I don't either.
I'm sorry. I'm getting all disproportionately angry about happy news.
Well, this is, yeah, it's very, I'm glad that I snagged the first season when I did because, yeah, doesn't, the first season of Twin Peaks is out of print, so you can't even find it anywhere.
And so, is that true?
Mm-hmm. They only released it in Europe, so you can still buy it there on DVD, but you can buy it here on VHS.
See, it's all, this is so frustrating. All right. Rick, hasn't all of today's show really been a Geek Watch? Just asking. P.S. I don't hate Tim. Thank you, sir.
All right, here's the rest of your Geek Watch today.
So let's talk about this Harry Potter book. As we know, 8.3 million copies were sold.
Woot.
And that was one copy every 15 seconds in Great Britain. These precocious youngsters can't wait to read it.
It's already been leaked on the internet, and any time there was anything remotely that hinted towards Harry Potter, I shut the browser down.
I want to see excitement. I want to see if anybody, people are going to die, it says, so I want to see who does.
Who doesn't want to see who dies?
Today's morbid youth. That's fantastic. I will say this, and I'm giving no spoilers, but...
I'm only up to two.
Deaths?
Yeah.
You shouldn't even say that. You shouldn't even clarify.
No,
wait.
No, but there aren't even any big... It's. I'm not going to say if they're big or small.
Are you talking about the the one that happens in the first few chapters?
Yeah.
You read... That was... Boy, that was... But even that, I just thought that little tweet... Again, I got to be real careful here so we won't spoil
that
anything.
That sucked. I'm real. No. I'm like, no, already? Come
I will
on.
Say this. Yeah, within, let's
there
say...
It was a disappointment.
Within the first 10 chapters. Let's, that's a long-ass book. It's like 39 chapters long or something.
No.
But I will say this, that within... We'll say this. Within the first 10 chapters, there's something that happens. And it's not even really... In the grand scheme of things, it's not all that bad. But it's just still like a little bit of a kick to the gut because you realize that more is coming. It is sort of a... It's a bellwether, as they say. Sort of a canary in the coal mine. And you just sort of realize that it's a whole... It's going to be a long, long ass. And I have to tell you this. And again, I'm not spoiling anything. I'm about 70, 80 pages from the end. And I got to tell you that you reach this point about 4/5 of the way in. She really is an amazing writer. And again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they're like the greatest books in the history of Western literature. I mean, they are just really, really well told stories. But that's a hard thing to do. But you reach this point about 4/5 in where it's like somebody flips a switch and the story just goes into like breakneck mode. It's like just this train without brakes. I mean, and I don't think it's going to slow. I mean, I don't know because I haven't finished it. But I don't think it's going to slow down. I don't think it's going to ease up at all. You reach this point where literally within the space of about four pages, the book just acquires just this manic, unbelievably intense pace. And it never lets up from then on. I mean, it just maintains. And you just feel spent. I mean, I didn't even finish the book last night. And I was just, when I finally, like 1:30, was like, oh, F this, I got to get some sleep. And I reluctantly put my bookmark, which is an invitation to the class of 2007 Hogwarts graduation ceremony. No, you got the same one. Yeah, totally. Same nerdy bookmark. I finally put the bookmark in last night. I'm like, I got to get some sleep. And I put it in. And I realized that, I put the book down on the coffee table, and I kind of went, and I realized that I had just been all tensed up. I realized I was reading it with, like, my jaw clenched and with, like, my muscles all clenched and my fingers were, like, gripping the sides of the book.
Last night I was sitting in my backyard or yesterday, and my legs have never been this burned, and I'm fried. I didn't even notice. I was just sitting in the same position the entire time.
I mean, my eyes were bloodshot. I was thirsty. It's like I had to use the bathroom. I didn't realize any of these things, though, while I was reading it. It was unbelievable. And let me just say this, in case anybody out there is, because I know that some people are still reluctant to embrace their own nerdity or their own geekology. Let me just say this, in case you want the bar raised a little higher, so you can feel good about yourself and your social skills. I actually, at one point on Saturday, had the delay. I took about 25 minutes off from reading the Harry Potter book because I was hunting around on my computer to find exactly the right music with which to read. Because I couldn't find the right music to read to. And I was like, well, should I listen to this?
You are such a nerd because I did the exact same thing.
Should I listen to that? So I ended up... So here's what
did
I ended
you listen
up...
to?
I ended up alternating back and forth. I started out by reading... the Harry Potter book, while accompanied by the soundtrack to Harry Potter,
oh,
Goblet
God,
of Fire.
Come on.
No, but then it didn't work. I was kind of just doing it to see if it would work, and it was kind of a failed experiment. But I have this as I know that this just makes me sound like some sort of a Fresh Air with Terry Gross kind of a guy. But I ended up reading, I have this, it's like a, It's like just an album of like cello music. It's just kind of, it's kind of cool, you know. It's instrumental, and it's kind of you know, and it kind of it sets like a mood and an atmosphere, but it's not like overbearing. It's not too melodramatic. So it's just like, it's like an album of like cello music, and I had that on the background, and so really all I missed was like a pipe and a smoking jacket and a roaring fire next to me, and it really would have been perfect. Sorry, I'm reading like this 900 page book with cello music playing in the background.
Sitting there with a smoking jacket.
Yeah, that's what I mean, with a cat on my lap, you know. That is, no, goodbye, Mr. Bond. I mean, all I needed to be doing was drinking coffee out of a small cup with my pinky extended.
Or knitting.
I was totally listening perfect. To an instrumental. Well, it wasn't instrumental. This band Midlake that I really like. So right, this one sounds like America. Yeah, I was alternating between my two favorite albums of theirs. I just sit in my backyard for a while, let it play through, then go change it.
It's difficult. People don't realize exactly how difficult sometimes it is to find the right music to read by. God, we're nerds. All right, let's see. Oh, this, let's see. We have here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. This is John, who is Tim Riley for a day. Hello, sir.
Sweet mother of God, the right music. You no Pantera or Whitesnake or anything like
well,
that?
Well, not for Harry Potter. It doesn't,
okay,
seem, doesn't seem appropriate.
Hey, I got a question for you. It's been, you know, however many months or a year or two since book six came out, and I'm like, well, it seems like Dumbledore died somehow or another there at the end, but, you know, what else happened? How can I, is there a synopsis somewhere to kind of, like, fresh me up on book six? Because I'm going to pick up number seven this afternoon.
Well, I will tell you this. First of all, and I'm not going to claim to have a perfect 100% recall of all things Harry Potter, because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, seven books, that's, we're talking like probably 6,800 pages, almost 7,000 pages of words. So I will say that J.K. Rowling is sort of the master of backstory, because, and in this book, and I won't give anything away, of course, but in this book, she does a masterful job of refreshing your memory and just bringing you up to speed on little things you may have forgotten in a way that doesn't draw attention to itself. It's not like a big awkward expository speech. So she will bring you up to speed on everything you need to know and little details that may have slipped your mind. I will say that if you want a quick refresher, probably the best thing to do is to go to Wikipedia and read the Order of the, or the, I'm sorry, the Half-Blood Prince page at Wikipedia. It will do a quick, like, four-paragraph Cliff's Notes kind of recap for you.
Oh, sweet. I didn't even think about Wiki.
Okay, so there you go.
Thanks, dude.
Thank
Bye.
You. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Grab your book.
No, see, this is exactly what I'm... This is exactly the kind of music
I
was reading
on
to.
There.
And now, Harry Potter.
I'm so glad that you do that, too. Because
totally.
You can't have... you have to pick the exact right music, because it's distracting otherwise.
You can't really...
But you don't want to sit in silence.
You can't really read Harry Potter to, like, Justin Timberlake or something. It's just not going to... I mean, it's not going to work. So, no. And in fact, sometimes, if we can just leap just head first into the nerdality... Nerdality. Sometimes, actually, I will read a book, and I'll have a certain record in the background, and it seems to work really well, and so it becomes like a pair that whenever I'm reading the book until I finish it, like I just read that book Into the Wild by John Krakauer, and there's this sort of alt-country record that I listen to a lot, or that I was listening to when I read it, and now to this day, whenever I hear that record, that the book is the first thing I think of, because they're so merged in my mind, but that's exactly the kind of music I was listening to yesterday.
You know what's really good to listen to, too, is Simon and Garfunkel.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 5. Upon arriving at Hogwarts.
So do books on tape have music in the background? I've never listened to a book on tape.
Usually just at the beginning and end of each side or each section.
No.
I read a fast...
Change to side 2.
That's... This was... By J.K. Rowling. Illustrations by Anne Hathaway. You know, that's totally what they'll have. I read a fascinating interview, by the way. Remember how, like, 2 hours ago we said we were done with the Harry Potter talk?
Yeah.
This is...
Never gonna be
done. I'm just saying it's...
Wait, no, we said we're gonna... We said we have today.
That is true. We have
today.
Monday. I read a fascinating interview, though, with the guy who read the Harry Potter book, not on tape anymore, but on CD, which is interesting because that guy knew the ending like 2 months ago, and he had to sign some ironclad thing because it took him like... Did you read that book on CD? It's 17 CDs long. I mean, it's just unreal. But, you know, that guy had to sit in a recording studio for like 6 weeks and record that. All right. We have one. Well, let's do this, and then we'll wrap up the Geek Watch. Hello, sir.
Rick?
Hi.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
How can I help you, sir?
Okay, so the best music to listen or to read or listen to while you read, like, kind of a creepy book is the soundtrack to The Crow.
Oh, the soundtrack to The Crow is great. It's got that Cure song, and it's got the Rollins Band is on there. And
yeah, it really fits like a fantasy kind of creepy, kind of dark book.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. The Crow. All right. Are we done with the...
Well, no, we have one more thing.
All right.
Daniel Radcliffe, today, since he turns 18, gains access to his $40 million fortune.
Since he turns 18, his...
He has no
privet drive protection spell no longer.
To fritter his cash away.
I know. I was stretching for the joke.
On fast cars, fast dames, drinking in celebrity parties. So, he's able to gamble at a casino, buy a drink at a pub, or see the horror film Hostel Part 2, currently six places above his number one movie at the UK box office.
Yeah, you know, and he's turned out to be a pretty good looking guy too. You know, sometimes those child stars, they grow up and they turn all awkward. You know what I mean?
Andy Bonaducci.
I mean, it's just totally. I mean, although even he, because as a kid, Danny Bonaducci was just weird looking. The only thing that people found cute about him is he had those big cheeks that you could pinch, I guess. That's, you know, that whole, like, you know, he was sort of had the cherub-like face. But sometimes those child stars will grow up, and it's especially bad when they are attached to a series or an ongoing show, and you can see as they age, they're going to turn all ugly. And the producer's like, oh, we chose poorly. But Daniel Radcliffe, I mean, and you know, as I always said, you know, because what's her name? Emma Watson, who plays Hermione Granger, she's been bitching about she doesn't want to return to do the last two movies. She's like, I'm tired of being Hermione Granger, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, I think they've convinced her to do it because we were, as you know, we use that Galaxy Quest open and close. But, man, I would say you get into any sci-fi fantasy franchise like that and you have a job for life. I mean, you have a gravy train you can ride until you are dead.
Yeah.
So, anyway, well, good for him. So there you go.
So there.
I still have not seen the new Harry Potter film, by the way, so no. People can ask me about that. I haven't seen it. I'll get to it one of these days.
One of these days.
And are we done with the Geek Watch?
I guess we are, yes.
There's your Geek Watch.
By Raptor's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next.
Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, at the same time Harry Potter's been released, don't forget, if for some reason you don't get one, you can pick up Taylor Hicks' new memoir, which was released at the same time. Nobody will read this book. He says that's a shame because this book has been written to be an inspiration to others.
All of the life experiences and the stories, you know, that have led up to this point and after Idol, it just, you know, there's a positive message there, and that's what we were trying to get out.
Yes, the positive message
is... You have to believe in yourself. You know, I beat the odds, and you have to have that self-determination.
Believe that book will end up in the bargain bin very soon.
You have to have a lot of self-confidence. You know, it's up and down, and, you know, the gigs were up and down, and you just you have to take all of those you know, those things and apply it not just to music but everyday life.
Yeah, you're well spoken.
The what's are up and down?
I don't know. Want to hear it again?
You have to have a lot of self-confidence. You know, it's up and down, and you know the gigs were up and down.
Gigs.
And you just you have to take all of those you know, those things and apply it not just to music but everyday life.
Whatever.
Nobody's inspired, right?
Seriously, who else? Who was the other American idiot?
I
want to
be just like Taylor Hicks. Someday when I grew up.
Wrote some book. Oh, it was, what's her name? Was it Fantasia? Who was the single mom that wrote the whole book about following your dreams? I think her name
was
Fantasia.
Yeah, there's Fantasia, and then the other one in the first season, that Nikki? The red-haired girl, she was like the edgy punk rock one.
I just remember like hearing the single mom woman talk about
following their dreams.
And the only I'm tired of people following their dreams. The only way I remember the single mom thing is because that's what she kept. Well, as a single mom, it was hard for me to. And it's like, what? Look, I don't mean to look and squeeze as much money and whatever fame as you can out of your 15 minutes. I'm the first to tell you to do that. But seriously, what possible life lessons could somebody who really, this is the flat out definition of luck. I mean, you want to talk about the absolute definition of just winning the luck of the draw, literally the luck of the draw to get on that show. I mean, really, other than just being born phenomenally lucky, there's really no life lessons they can pass along, I would imagine. Let's see, what have we got here? Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir.
Yeah, both. I say I'm a huge, huge Terry Brooks fan. He's probably my favorite author when it comes to fantasy, I think.
There we go.
There's no one that touches him, but I'm wondering if anybody's read him, and if I've never read a Harry Potter, if that would be something, knowing what I'm interested in, if the Harry Potters would interest me.
Become Rick Emerson's book hour. I will tell you this. I mean, I'm probably the wrong person to ask because I have a limited taste for fantasy fiction. Like, I don't... like I'm just, I just find most sci-fi or fantasy, I just, especially fantasy, doesn't appeal to me. Like, I can count on zero fingers the number of, like, Terry Brooks or Piers Anthony books I've read in the last decade of my life. I'm probably the wrong guy to ask. As dumb as this sounds, as dorky as this will make me seem, really, you might want to ask online for that. Or you might really want to go to, like, a forum for fantasy or sci-fi or something and make that comparison to people and see what they say. I'm kind of the wrong guy to ask. I will say that the Harry Potter books are really, they do seem to cut across every genre. They do seem to appeal to people who don't read any fantasy or sci-fi at all. So
for an adult, they would be okay, even?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm 34, and I stood in line at, like, an idiot to get them. So draw from that what you might, sir.
And don't forget the Taylor Hicks book. That's a good alternative.
Totally, yeah, exactly.
It'll teach kids to
all
read.
All right, thank you.
He didn't
all
like
right.
that answer.
Get that in a... Get that in one of the... at least... He's humorless. It's a Terry Brooks fan. What do you want? All right. When I'm out getting Volume 7 of the Mission Earth series... hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how long did you wait in line, Rick?
Well, I waited in line at three different places, so I'm probably blowing the curve a little bit. I probably all told about 3 hours, yeah.
Well, my wife and I went out to dinner, got home, had a cocktail, looked at the clock and said, hey, let's go down and get the Harry Potter book. And so we went down to Powell and just walked to the door, bought it, and walked out. We were in and out in 15 minutes, and then I realized that there were, you know, probably 2,000 people waiting outside in a really big, long line.
The thing about that Powell's downtown is there were so many people that it was impossible to tell where the line began or ended.
Yeah. And that's why I just decided not to wait. We just walked in and got it taken care of. It was fantastic.
Yeah, Laura and I realized that we could have just cut in the line, but I mean, I think we just kind of wanted to get out of downtown anyway because we realized the traffic was just going to be unreal. But yeah, no, you're right. There was no because if they had put it in a single file line, I mean, it would have gone all the way to the Hawthorne Bridge. I mean, it would have been at least.
Well, it wrapped around the building almost twice.
Yeah, and then that one area on 10th and Cooch was just that whole huge open area where there must have been 1,500 people there alone.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
thank you.
That's it. Nerds waited too long. I got mine and left. Ha ha.
I have to respect that. Here's Jim Riley.
Well, you're probably wondering what they pulled out of the person's colon over the weekend.
Yeah. Was it a squirrel?
As Press Secretary Tony Snow says, these polyps are benign but not cancerous.
Sorry?
Most colon cancer arises from polyps. The progression generally takes very many years. Two-thirds of all polyps are adenomas. The vast majority, tubular
Making
adenomas.
Up words. Tubular adenomas. And polyps sounds like some sort of racist slur of some kind.
No.
Listen to that guy. He's a polyp.
Sounds like something I miss would say. These things are very small.
They represent the very earliest cellular changes left untreated. They can progress to larger, more advanced lesions, and a small percentage could become cancerous.
And the government is here to scare you. What's this latest terrorist thing that we're supposed to be afraid of? Apparently, after spending billions and billions of dollars, National Intelligence Admiral, they make up these titles, who knows what these people really do, National Intelligence Admiral Mike McConnell says Al-Qaeda is still threatening inside the U.S.
Mm-hmm. The most serious threat is that the plotters that are being observed will be successful in penetrating our defenses. And
he sounds really concerned about it, too. He sounds terrified. Yeah, well, whatever.
He just picked the third memo from the left and decided to come out and read it. So,
I did note over the weekend on the Drudge Report, we apparently, again, captured or killed the number two guy from Al-Qaeda. That's like the 900th time that we've...
Well, they all move up the line.
So, well, and did you notice that it's funny how nobody really... And by nobody, I mean we didn't talk at all about that Bin Laden tape that came out 2 weeks ago that we were all supposed to be scared of. There's a new footage tape from Bin Laden. And then they revealed that it's like 5 years old.
Yeah.
Like they found the same. It's like some footage that they pulled from something. You know, it's like when they do like a flashback episode in All in the Family or something.
Yeah, it's like the Columbia Sound Library.
Yeah, exactly.
Pick three Bin Laden tapes. Get three.
That Bin Laden footage over the weekend is sort of the Wilhelm scream of the Al Qaeda world. It's just been popping up over and over and over again. You know, the Wilhelm scream is in Anchorman. Returning to our other recurring theme for the day, the Wilhelm is in Anchorman. It's in when they're having the street fight with the other TV news crews, and what's his name with the cowboy hat? throws one of the other anchors like 1,000 feet into the windshield of a car, and he totally does the Wilhelm, which is...
Have we ever played great. The montage on the show, the Wilhelm Scream montage, where different movies that it's in?
But wouldn't it just, on the radio, would it even work? Because it would just sound like the same scream over and over.
Well, we could try.
Well, that's what's funny about it.
Because it's, you know, ah! Well, that's Dean. I'm doing the Dean. They ought to start working the Howard... They had to start using the Howard Dean scream in movies as the new Wilhelm. Oh, come on! That's genius, all right.
That is genius.
I'm calling it right now. I'm calling it right now. Bam! Right into a car. How great is that? That is genius.
There's nothing greater.
There's...
All right.
Picking up on your sarcasm. I think it's a great idea. You guys don't appreciate my ice.
Wilhelm! Yeah, I'll just fill my pipe.
You're right, it's just going to be over and over again. This is all just a bunch of different movies.
It's in all three Lord of the Rings movies. It's in Star Wars. I mean, it's in everything.
Yeah, that's a lot of years if this is 1954.
Yeah, this doesn't really work on the radio.
They know how to scream in the 50s.
It is that one scream, though, that's
Star
called
Wars.
The Wilhelm. There you go. Yeah, the Wilhelm happens in movies constantly. Okay, but seriously, I'm doing that.
Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Are you guys doing that 48-hour film festival thing? Are you doing that this year, Tim?
No.
All right. I am. I'm calling it right now. I'm calling it, even though this is not my decision to make, because I'm not the director. I'm saying it right now. Our movie should either have the Wilhelm or the Dean, or both. The Wilhelm and the Dean scream.
Well, you're doing the 48-hour...
film festival.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because I, you know, my friend Jarris is directing this year.
Oh.
And so I'm going to be pitching it with that. So maybe my dialogue will be audible this time. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Big trucks go by and subways.
I shouldn't poke fun because, look.
Why not drive 100 miles?
I'm no one's idea. I'm no one's idea of a talented filmmaker. But just, you know, the 48-hour film festival is this thing where you are given 48 hours to write, shoot, edit, to front to back finish a short film. You have 48 hours to start from scratch, and you have to have it done at the end of 48 hours, period. And they'll give you a genre and a prop and a few other things, and then they're like, go. And you have 48 hours to write and finish a film. So Tim and I were in the 48-hour film festival last year, was it?
Uh-huh.
It's a great movie. It really is. It's this noir film, like a noir detective film shot in Portland.
But because we're in it.
Because we're in it, no one else has ever seen
with
it.
The history.
No one outside of Portland has ever seen it because it has the Tim and Rick curse. It's like it vanishes.
So it might be a little bit better this year because you're the only one in it.
So it'll be seen by somebody in Umatilla. But there's a sequence where Tim and I have a scene where we're sort of these mob informer guys, and somebody had this idea that they would shoot the scene at a wrestling event, like a professional, like at Portland wrestling. And
the rest of the movie is fine.
The rest of the movie is
perfect.
Great. No, the rest of it's a brilliant looking film. Mm-hmm. The rest of it is great.
It has a 60s motif to it.
Of course, just the scene with Tim and I. Tim and I are being, you know, we're shooting our scene and we're doing all this noir dialogue, like, tell him the cat's in the bag and the bag's in the river and the blah, blah, blah. And we're doing all this hard-boiled noir dialogue. But they're filming us in a wrestling hall where there's a match going on. And the microphone is like 1.5 feet away from the mat. And so Tim Riley, speak that important piece of dialogue. And then Tim opens his mouth to say his line of dialogue.
Clunk, smack.
And all you hear in the background is like, you know. So anyway, I just... And so... No, the important piece of dialogue that I have to say here, and it's like all of these guys hitting a wrestling mat as Tim and I are trying to recite our dialogue, and then the rest of the movie is flawless. Yeah. The only part of the film that can't be heard or understood is Tim and I. It's genius. Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, we should do one more and then break, so we got Jim Roop coming up.
Attention, Scotty. I have a couple of things here for you. First, this important message. Exhaustive research has pointed this out.
A responsible consulting organization reports this study by a competent medical specialist and his staff on the effects of smoking Chesterfields. A group of people smoked only Chesterfields for 6 months in their normal amount, 10 to 40 a day.
To 40 a day.
25% of the group have smoked Chesterfields from 1 to 30 years for an average of 10 years each. At the beginning and end of the 6 months period, each smoker was given a thorough examination, including x-rays. The examination covered the sinuses, nose, ears, and throat. After a thorough examination of every member of the group, the medical specialist stated, "It is my opinion that the ears, nose, throat, and accessory organs of all participating subjects examined by me were not adversely affected in the 6 month period by smoking the cigarettes provided."
Smoking cures the common cold as well. Why would it affect your ears? That's just stupid.
I know.
I want to know where those doctors are. That's an interesting documentary. Somebody should go back and interview, if they're not all dead, interview those doctors who said smoking was good for you. That's a great idea for a documentary. Somebody ought to do that. God damn. You know, people talk about what they would do if they won $1 jillion in the Powerball. I have that whole list. I have a whole list of small documentary film projects I would do, and that's one of them. Somebody ought to go back and find those doctors who were on TV in a white lab coat holding a box of Cools or something and say,
with the flashlights on their heads.
Parliaments are good for you. They really ought to do that. All right. And do you have something else for
that? Yes. The more exposure middle school students have to anti-smoking ads, the more likely they are to smoke. This is according to a recent study. They found that many anti-smoking ad campaigns have the opposite effect on teenagers, backfiring because they actually encourage the rebellious nature of
youth. And because anti-smoking ads are put together by retards. It's like that whole, the anti-drug. Those things are so bad, they make my skin crawl. Mm-hmm. Those anti-drug things are just as bad as that Axe Bow Chicka Bow thing. I mean, they're all made by the same group of morons. All right. Well, we should break here. Coming up, we have CNN radio correspondent James Roop, who will join us. Top five magic songs. Clyde Lewis will be joining us. Peter Carlin. This right here. Penis Watch. And it's a good one. Let's see. And we'll check in with Scotty, too, and see how his life is going. More Tim Riley on the way as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Here's the Foo Fighters. The Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Hey, Scotty. National Fresh Breath Day is coming up. We just got this interview opportunity. Monday, August 6th. This is real. Dr. Suzanne Cohen, and the CEO of Smart Mouth, is available for radio interviews. How about National Fresh Breath Day? Just get right on that. All right. 503-733-2970. Really? Is that true? Is Carl Click on his way to IKEA right now? Is he just doing it as a... Really? Then I was just as a citizen, or is he doing this for K2? He's probably... Really? He might just be there because he needs more Japanese lamps. Okay. You can never have too many of those. Or soap dishes that look like starfish. 503-733-2970 is the phone number. We got a great penis watch on the way. But before we do anything else, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles. Radio correspondent James Roop. Hello, sir.
Happy Monday, sir.
Thank you, my friend. How's life in the big city?
It's hot and humid.
Is it really?
Yeah. We had rain today, and now it's sort of this stickiness hanging in the air.
Yeah. Portland just feels like we're wrapped in some sort of a wet woolen sweater.
Yeah.
You know, like a sweater that maybe, like if you were washing a sweater and then you put it in the dryer, but it didn't get dried all the way. Like somebody opened the door halfway through and never started it again.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of a smothery sensation.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the smell now.
That's exactly. Yeah. Hey, so let's talk about David Beckham, who seems every day like a poorer and poorer investment for this. So what is it? Now, he didn't break his ankle, right?
No, I'm not sure what the exact injury is. It's some sort of strain.
Because he was able to play. He was able to play, but he just sort of played badly,
well,
right?
Well, first of all, he's a playmaker. He's not a scorer. You're not going to see this Pele style of play out of David Beckham. I don't know what. I'm still scratching my head trying to figure out what is the hype around this
guy. Now, do you think that's the problem? Because, and I will not pretend to be any kind of a sports expert. I am a casual sports fan at best. And so maybe that is going to be their undoing with this thing. Is it that to the average person, the average schmuck like myself, who maybe only is sort of aware of him in a pop culture sense, Maybe that, I think that might be their downfall, is that everybody, you say David Beckham and everybody sort of thinks, oh yeah, that's the guy, he's like the Jordan of soccer. And
no,
he's really not though, right?
No, his big claim to fame is he's able to make a ball do some amazing things. Like he could take a free kick, for instance, and he can bend the ball around several defenders and have it go in the net. But that's all I know that he can do. And watching him on Saturday, he was really protecting that ankle, and rightly so. I mean, it's a preseason exhibition game. He had to play because the place was sold out. ESPN brought 27 cameras. I mean, you got to put the guy in for a couple of minutes.
Right.
So he kind of played real gingerly, touched the ball a few times. He got tackled once, a legal tackle, and he went down wincing, and I could feel the pain from where I was sitting.
Mm.
I mean, you know he's hurt. And you got to wonder, they're going to lose this $250 million investment before the season even begins if they don't just sit his butt down.
Well, especially because, and it's not just that, it also, you can tell that it's sort of an inverted pyramid, that he is the point upon which not just the Galaxy, but the entire league is trying to, I mean, they're trying to make this leap of soccer into the next level as far as the American interest goes.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to work. No. I mean, the attention level is at an all-time high right now for soccer, but I don't know that awareness is going to last very long. It's not going to sustain unless every morning you read how he has some incredible assist from midfield around 52 defenders or something strange like that. I mean, unless people – and they better – for one thing, it used to be free to park at the Home Depot Center. It was $20 on Saturday to park. Season tickets for a Galaxy games are $600. That's going to go way up. They got to pay this guy's salary. So if they start nickel and diming the fans, no one's going to turn out.
Right. And, of course, they were doing a two-pronged assault with him, and then his weird Skeletor wife was going to have that miniseries, which I think – didn't they take the miniseries and they shoved it down at like one-hour show because they figured out real quickly that nobody cared?
Yeah, and I think that that interest has waned quite a bit.
Well, seriously, who wants to watch his bony wife buy mouthwash? I mean, for the love of God.
I don't know. I'll tell you something, man. She looks much better in pictures than she does in person.
Well, I know this is an issue of personal preference, but to me, she doesn't look all that good in pictures to begin with. So the baseline is set pretty low. So if she looks worse in person, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's, I mean, she has no legs to speak of. Yeah, she looks like she's standing on two AAA batteries.
She's got those like little bird legs like the Olsen twins have.
Yeah, exactly.
Little stick legs.
I mean, you talk about no only shape on her body is her nose.
Yeah. Yes. No.
And whatever hairdo that is. I'm sure she's a nice woman.
See, that's how you can tell. I mean, at the end, that's a little twist that everybody puts on the other, and I'm sure she's very nice.
Well, I don't want to, I didn't really get a chance. I stuck my mic in her face like everybody else. I didn't get a chance to one-on-one her or anything.
She seems like a real unlikable woman. Every time I've ever seen her interviewed, every time I've ever, and I know that it's unfair to sort of judge people on 22 minutes or 12 minutes or whatever, but I mean, I told that story about how I was at a Daily Show taping, and she was the guest. And I mean, and of course they sit there during the commercial breaks and, and they sort of banter or whatever during, when they're not filming. And just not only during the episode itself, but during just the downtime, maybe she was having a bad night, but just seemed like a terribly unlikable and unhappy person.
Well, rumor has it, and he wouldn't answer this question, at least when I asked it to him, that he made this move because she wanted to come here for her career.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with an opportunity for him, although it turned out to be one hell of an opportunity for him.
Right.
But I think this all started with her desire to come to Los Angeles.
Well, she's got to do something while she's waiting for that huge Spice Girls reunion, which is weird.
Woo-hoo!
Which they announced, and then, nothing ever happened. Like, that just sort of went away. It was, 3 weeks ago, there was Spice Girls reuniting, and then everybody cared for, a second and a half, and then it just sort of dissipated.
Well, maybe the other girls don't want to do it.
I don't know. I cared for a second, and then now I don't even care. So.
It was a weird thing. When I did some React stuff yesterday for people outside of the stadium, Saturday I did the stadium thing, and everybody there was there to see David Beckham, so it was a pretty small universe. When you get out into the broader world and you talk to people, oh, really? Did he play?
Yeah.
How did he do? What was it? Well, good for him. I'm not a soccer fan. Oh, that's great. I'm glad they're in town. Maybe that'll raise awareness for soccer, but I won't go to see the game.
That's it. Making the leap from the sports fan to the casual pop culture non-sports fan. That's the trick. What's hard to pull off.
And they're not going to do that if they keep getting shut. And it didn't help that Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes hosted a party. That did not help.
That's the reverse Midas touch.
Have you seen the pictures of that?
No.
She's a head taller than he is, man. The funniest. It looks like her little boy.
Fantastic.
He looks like her son.
Excellent. That's a disturbing image because I just picture him in short pants and a pacifier.
Yeah, his suit didn't fit to the point where it looked like that.
Excellent. Well done.
All right, my friend. Good to have you back, sir.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your day. We'll talk to you soon, Jim Roop.
All right, thank you.
There you go. Jim Roop vanishes into the Los Angeles afternoon. Excellent. Let's get a couple of these calls, and then we'll move on. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
God, I got on board back when you were talking about polyps. I always thought polyps sounded more like a breakfast cereal.
Polyps, or like some sort of a fruit?
Sugar frosted polyps or something.
Like some sort of a squishy tomato-like thing.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's the take the center of the tomato or something.
Yes.
Anyway, great show.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, is that hot in here? I'm kind of sweating a lot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just check. Make sure it's not just me. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson
Show. I turned
you
down.
Hello.
Hey, P1 here. Before I get to my point, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I am a big radiophile. I have no idea what the Wilhelm Scream is.
Oh, the Wilhelm Scream is actually not a radio thing as such. The Wilhelm Scream, I don't have the Wikipedia entry in front of me, and I'm not Aaron Duran, so I'll have to freestyle it. The Wilhelm Scream is a sound. There was a movie that came out of, like, 1952?
1953.
And there was a character named blah, blah, blah Wilhelm, who falls or jumps or is shot or something, and the character screams as he's jumping or falling. I forget what happens to him. But the scream itself was sort of sampled. The movie came out in 51, and it's the sound of a character screaming, and I think he's falling off a cliff or something. And that scream is now called the Wilhelm Scream, and it has showed up in something like 75 movies or something since then.
And hence all the samples that you played.
It's in every Lord of the Rings film. It's in all the Star Wars films. It's in Anchorman, as we were saying earlier. I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but let me see if I can...
Wikipedia? Yeah, the Wilhelm Scream is a stock sound effect first used in 51 for the movie Distant Drums. Actor-singer Sheb Wooley is considered to be the most likely voice actor for the scream, having appeared on a memo as a voice extra for the movie, so he's an extra.
And so it's just, and so you'll watch any number of movies, and it especially turns up in sci-fi fantasy films, where you will hear this very, very trademark scream. Let's see. The Wilhelm's revival came from Star Wars sound designer Brett Bird, who tracked down the original recording. And the recording was from a movie called Distant Drums. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. So, Sarah, do you have the...
Mm-hmm.
Here's the actual sound of the Wilhelm scream. It's fantastic. So there you go. That sound has... and see, I love stuff like that.
I think it's... So do you think they just use it for the quirk factor?
Yeah, well, I think it's sort of... You know what it is? It's sort of a geek, you know, shout-out. It's a little homage. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, it's not a trademark of any one director, but it is sort of a... Like I said, if I was making a movie, I'd do it. It's just, you know what it is? It's a little wink and a nod to your fellows and your brothers in the geek community.
You need to put that in your 48-hour movie.
That's what I'm saying. That and or the Dean thing.
And that's a brilliant idea. And can I ask you another radio question before I get to my point?
Yes, sir. Are these all? These are all. We're still in the preface. We're still in the preamble here.
Yes, we are.
All right.
And if you want me to skip the radio question,
no. Go ahead.
Okay. What's the deal with Baba Booey? I don't know that either. I feel embarrassed.
Were you raised by wolves?
I've heard Baba Booey all the time, but I've heard people going, yeah, Baba Booey.
Okay, Baba Booey is a nickname that was given to Gary Delabate, who was Howard Stern's, or is Howard Stern's producer. Howard Stern's producer, Gary Delabate, is nicknamed Baba Booey and had, there's a long, tangled history about Baba Louie, who was a character on, Deputy Dog or whatever the hell the cartoon was. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. So Baba Booey is the nickname of Gary Delabate, who's Howard Stern's producer, and it became sort of a running gag for Howard Stern fans to call other radio or TV programs and sneak that phrase into their calls.
Kind of like the Don and Mike where the...
The Belcher.
Yes.
Yeah, so you might think of Baba Booey as the Wilhelm Scream of the Howard Stern Show, and it shows up, you know...
And
but
it still happens to this very day.
It's true. You know, people will get every so often we'll get some jackass who will call up and he'll sneak it in.
Yeah, because it sounds like a really compelling conversation, and then all of a sudden blow it.
Baba Booey.
And then nobody hears any of it because we dump the whole damn thing.
And then we delay it and nobody ever hears it. But yeah, so it's a phrase that Howard Stern fans would like sneak into their phone calls, blah, 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 blah. So.
Thank you very much. By the way,
yes.
I am a glorious bastard.
Excellent.
And I won tickets to the Rose City Rollers.
Cool.
The Roller Derby Girls. I'm a big Blazers fan. I'm a big sports fan. I thought that was going to be a bunch of crap. I went anyway because it's like girls beating up on each other.
No, it's badass.
It is the – I had so much fun. The person I took with me had so much fun. It is a sport. I am going back. Thank you very much.
It's what we do, sir. I'm glad. Thank you for being an AM 970 glorious bastard, my friend.
I am a glorious bastard, and I don't know. Can I just say Baba Booey?
Thank you.
All right.
Ah! Turn into the Wilhelm. The Wilhelm ought to be in my sound bank over here. Thank you. All right. I don't have time to, what time is it? 26.
Okay, what are you trying
break.
To do?
No, we should break.
Is that the
penis? Yes, it's the penis.
Is that the penis?
We should break. We'll come back. More of Tim Riley, Clyde Lewis. We'll have this great penis watch. We'll talk to Scotty J. later on, Peter Carlin from The Oregonian, and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. More of an ugly American.
Sorry that we're like yelling at you.
No, it's fine. I mean, I know that it is, and I will say this.
I'm just all excited.
I know.
I'm so jealous that you get to go somewhere.
I know, and I anticipated the big lecture when I opened my mouth, because every time I say I don't want to like see whatever, you always uncork the whole mom. How do you know you don't like liver if you haven't tried it? Which is totally, and I understand that. I realize these. I know that it is not easy being married to me. My wife, God bless her, is trying to put together some sort of an out-of-the-country vacation thing that will... She's trying to make it as painless for me as possible. So I know that she's trying to find some place that I will be interested in. But I think... And don't get me wrong, I was not excited. But, I mean, I was sort of okay with going to Italy. Just because Italian culture is kind of interesting to me. And frankly, like the whole notion of Italian food, even though I know it's drastically different than what we have here in America, that was kind of interesting to me too. The idea of going and having like actual, whether northern or southern, actual Italian food. But goddamn, like $3,000 just for the tickets. I mean, I don't even know how much it would. I don't know
if
you
go to the spaghetti factory, you need for $10.
Ride the tram. Like, how much is it, like, for two people to go to, like, England and back? Like, how much is that? Like, how much am I going to pay for that?
Wait, I'm sorry.
Like, neither of you were listening, and then you both tried to...
Oh, it was, like, probably, like, 600 round trip.
Oh, really? See, that's for two or just one?
You know, I was
just
reading. Aaron, Geek in the City, just sent me an email. It's like, you can also visit the house used as Lily and James Potter's home in Godric's Hollow.
Well, that and the Jack the Ripper to the Whitechapel tour. That's almost enough to get me there. And I know that this just makes me sound like a retarded...
And there's a platform 9 3/4 there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're screwed. You're totally
going. And now, here's back to my revisiting my ugly American business with Lisa Goddard. So So England is near other things. What is England near?
Scotland.
Scotland, Ireland. You can get to Amsterdam very easily.
Yep. So she'd be into that. Mm-hmm. All right.
Like,
okay.
It's smack dab in the middle of everything.
All right. See, that's not so bad. And the jet lag probably isn't going to be as severe as if I went to some place like on the other side of the freaking planet.
Well, it's 8 hours ahead.
Ah, okay. Well, so I'm going to be screwed regardless. All right.
So by the time you adapt to it, it's going to be time to go home.
I just don't care about, like, I mean, I don't really care about going and seeing, like, look, here's a stone hut from 14,000 years ago. Like, I just don't care. I know I'm supposed to.
What month do you
want to
go?
What's that?
What month are you going?
September.
September. Okay, I'll pick out something here for you.
So
that's when I was there. I was there from, like, July to December.
Let you guys schedule my life for me. Really, it would function much better, probably. So she's going to be gone for 3 weeks. I will be gone for one of those weeks. And I will let you know as soon as possible, because I know that you, Sarah, wish to be gone probably at the same time.
I'm going to be going to New York City.
See? Why can't you be going to some other continent, and I can be going to New York?
She's already been there. You haven't.
I'm just saying. Fine. All right.
Your eyes will be open, Drake. You'll be very excited.
Yeah, I suppose.
You're going to like it.
I know.
You're going to like it a lot.
Should we take in a suitcase full of spray cheese with me so I can have a little taste of home?
Oh, my God. No, London is so Americanized.
Really?
Oh, yeah. A Pizza Hut and a McDonald's on every corner.
And I know it makes me retarded that makes me more willing to go there. That's the ugly side of my personality.
I did have the best cheeseburger of my life at a McDonald's in Paris, France.
See, the idea of going and eating McDonald's in Paris is strangely appealing to me, and I don't know why.
I had heard rumors that it was really good, and they're completely different there, and it was awesome.
And I hate to, I don't want people to think I'm doing this as like a shuck or a prop or something. It's not that, I mean, I, I just I don't know. I think I was born without certain genes, and I think the bug to travel is one of them. And I'm not saying that I haven't gone to places and liked it. I certainly have, but I think a lot of people were just born with just itchy feet. You know, a lot of people were just born with a desire to kind of get out and go places and see things. What is it Jimmy Stewart says? I'm going to shake the dust of this little town off my feet, and I'm going to see the Parthenon, or whatever it is he says in It's a Wonderful Life. And I just don't, I have to be dragged places. And I know that, I mean, I don't know what that's all about. It's just something that I have or don't have in my genetic makeup. But I got to be at gunpoint, shoved onto the airplane and taken to places. Because left to my own devices, I would just sit at home and watch cable and eat, you know, like frozen pizza and never do anything.
See, I've got to be, like, kept somewhere at gunpoint. I haven't lived anywhere for longer than 4 years my entire life until I moved to Portland,
yeah.
And now it's been 5 years. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
seems like a long time.
So for like a little over a week, it'll be $1,000 a person, including round trip flight and a hotel.
So it's like, $2,000 to England and back.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see,
and
that's
a stay,
and that's again that, and a stay. See, because it's just the airfare.
Yeah.
For both of us to Italy and back, is like I said, it's like three large, and there's just there's
no, you don't want
to
do that.
I mean. And again, it's, and I always say it's when I say I have the money. It's not even really that I have the money so much as she has the money that I am occasionally allowed to benefit from. I am occasionally allowed to suckle at the financial teat of her bank account. But it's you know, it's just I don't care who you are and I don't care how much money you make. $3,000 is $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, burn
so you can
that.
Stay at Earl's Court for $1,090 a person. So that's for almost a week.
How retarded is it that the Harry Potter tour is the thing that puts me over the top? Like, all right. Oh, go!
I can't wait to see all your pictures if you do go.
Mm-hmm.
You will have the nerdiest photos, I swear.
I know. All right.
And I have all kinds of books on London that I can give to you.
No, and see, and she'll, you know, and she'll all, you know, the great thing about her is she'll totally master the tube system in like a day.
Because
that's her thing with the subway. Like, we went to New York, and I swear to God, it was like she was in the Matrix downloading it into the back of her head. Like, she looked at the subway map, it was all like... I know Kung Fu. And it was like her thing with, like, I know the subway system. And she immediately had Manhattan and Bronx and Queens and everything, like, sussed in, like, a day. So
you can leave September 11th and return on Sunday the 16th. Is that long enough?
I'd love to fly on September 11th.
Okay. Well, I got a little plan for you.
I bet it'll be cheap. Well, you know what? When
wait, if you're leaving on September 11th, that means I'm leaving on September 11th
in
New York City.
Yeah.
Oh, that's comforting.
Ah. Well, you know what? When we see Rockstar Supernova last year, remember we flew back on September 11th and it was free because they had moved. We had missed our flight and they gave us, I mean, it wasn't free, but I mean, we'd missed our flight on September the 10th. And because we had to fly back on September 11th, they did not charge us to fly the next day because no one wanted to fly because it was empty. LAX was empty on September 11th. And so it was like no surcharge. There was no fee for that. See, here come the calls. Here they come. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Dude, I can't believe you're bitching about having to go to Europe.
I'm not bitching about it. I'm bitching a little bit.
I can't believe that.
I'm not complaining about it as such. No, I'm just saying I'm a homebody, as they say.
That's cool and all, but man, especially if it's not even on your dime, you ought to just suck it up and, oh, darn, I'll just go to Italy.
Also, I see it's my wife, and you know, I'm not even paying for it, but my wife's paying for the whole thing, clearly, so.
You should just... Bow at her feet and thank God you actually have a chance to go there.
Yeah.
I would love to go to Europe if I had the chance.
Yeah,
I'll go in your place.
You know? Yeah, I'll
go with the pinch husband. Be like that friend of hers that goes to a Blazers games with her when I don't want to go. You're like,
exactly.
I'm going to the Blazers game with so-and-so. I'm like, all right, you kids have a good time. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just... I know that I, and again, I don't mean to complain about it as such. I'm just saying I am a fundamentally boring person. That's the thing.
Cool.
I'm just kind of a tedious guy.
I just got to say, a good buddy of mine, he's headed off to Europe for, he actually left today, and, you know, lucky bastard, but he was going to go to Hawaii, or his mom offered him a ticket to Hawaii, and he's like, oh, well, I'd already been there so many times, I just don't think I'll go. I'll just stay.
Pass. Yeah.
They're like, what?
Yeah. No,
I'll
I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll go and I'll come back and I'll suddenly be, you know, I'll be that guy with, like, the canvas bag slung over his shoulder and a patch from every country.
Exactly, in a beret.
Totally come back with a beret and a clove cigarette. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All
see right, you, man.
Bye now. So a little over $1,000 and you can do it.
All right. Well, so there you go.
Are we sold on that?
Well, I it's not me. It's the... I'm not the banker. It's the
she who
must
Italy,
pay the bills.
You can go to Italy, enlist to Italian, and have pigeons attacking you, waiting for handouts. As you're awaiting
an audience with the Pope.
That was, as dumb as this sounds, that was the other thing that was enticing to me about Italy, was the chance to see the Vatican. As fallen of a Catholic as I am, the chance to go and see the Vatican was sort of interesting.
St. Paul's Cathedral is very beautiful, too, and that's in London.
Yeah, and I don't really care that much.
And there are plenty of empty churches around here.
That's going to say, it doesn't have to be the Vatican. I'm not that into it, so.
And the best pizza I've ever had in my life was actually... Well, except for in New York, but one of the best ones was in London.
All right.
Next to the place I used to live, which I'll give you the address for.
Well, so I'll give her the big pitch on that.
So you're leaving September 11th, returning on the 16th. It'll cost $1,054 a person.
I'm picturing Tim with like a little fiber optic headset.
Is that including accommodations?
It does, yes.
Oh, that's
would you prefer aisle
good.
Or middle, Ms. German? Would there be anything
you
else?
You can still choose that.
All right. Let's see. We'll get back to this in just a second.
I think it's a done deal. I think we found closure.
Oh, okay.
You go to London.
Shall I click submit to purchase? Well done.
If I did that, it'd already be on my credit card.
All right. Well, we will speak with Tim Riley here in just a moment at the Ministry of Truth. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from GroundZeroMedia.org, host of the Ground Zero Lounge. Mondays at Dante's, our good friend Clyde Lewis. Hello, sir.
How you doing?
What's up, brother?
Clyde.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited because there's a lot of cool things going on in the world of Ground Zero, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Excellent.
We recently, I've been working very hard and feverishly at ideocast.com, putting together some network shows. We put together about 13, and then I just did a new one on the moon landing, which is very fascinating stuff. And it's available now at ideocast.com. You can listen to all of them. They're amazing. And they're produced and put together. But the cool thing is that I finally figured out a way to broadcast live on the Internet. And so I'm going to set up some equipment, and I'm going to do an experimental launch of Ground Zero Live on the Internet at the Ross Island Grocery on Friday, and that will be at 6 p.m. So if anybody wants to show up, I mean, there's libations there you can have, you can sit in, we may even have you say hello to the world on the show. A lot of people said they want to come and just be a part of it. It's at 3338 Southwest Corbett, and it'll be starting at 6 o'clock. We're just going to get together. We're going to do a test run of the show on IdeoCast, and it may be a thing that we're going to do on Fridays for a while, because we've got the technology, and people are really excited about the shows that we put over. If you haven't seen IdeoCast.com yet, where I'm doing my shows.
And that's Ideo with an O, right?
Yeah, it's Ideo, IdeoCast.com. You can go there, and you can listen to them. They're pretty self-contained, really, really nice. We're starting a bunch of them. We've got Ground Zero Continuum. We've got Ground Zero Lounge, which is going to be tonight at Dante's at 8. We recorded last week's show. It's the new and improved Ground Zero Lounge. I'm now doing it solo. I'm doing it by myself, and we have a great opener, and we have two microphones now, so audience debate can take place. So if I say something and an audience member has one opinion, and it's a differing opinion than mine, or it's a differing opinion than the other guy that's on the microphone, we have a debate going on. So it's basically a big debate, ringmaster type of affair.
So at any moment, violence is at hand.
Well, we have bouncers that can escort people out if there's violence. We've had violence before at Ground Zero Lounges. What happens is if you get violent, you get thrown out of the bar. But we've had that before. But we've mainly realized that when you go into the Ground Zero Lounge, you're going into debate as a sport rather than going in and taking it personally. If you're going to take things personally at the Ground Zero Lounge, it's not a place for people who are wimpy. It's a place for people who love to argue, talk about subject matter. Even if they think it's absurd, they bring it up and talk about it. All kinds of characters there. We had a woman there one week who said that she didn't like the fact that I was talking about Western medicine. She yelled at me when I asked her what she did. She said she made clothing out of meat. I'm not kidding you.
The look on Tim's face just now was priceless. Tim, you gotta go. Violence and meat.
She said she had clothing out of meat, and of course Street Elvis was there last week talking to us about how he feels that George W. Bush is a reptile alien from another planet.
Okay.
We get weird, we get conspiracy, we get weird, we get crazy, and sometimes we even get right on the money. So, I mean, there's a lot of great discussion going on, and it's at the Ground Zero Lounge tonight at 8. Tonight I have a feeling I'm going to be talking about some very interesting things. I'm going to talk about something called Valis, and you can look it up online. Philip K. Dick was a science fiction writer who claimed claimed that he was hit by a beam of light, and it basically enlightened him. And he said it was by a supercomputer called Valis that was observing this planet. And what's really funny is I did some investigating into Valis, and it come to find out some of the most remarkable minds that exist here on this planet today claim the same thing, that they were visited or at least prompted or they've been receiving messages from something similar to Valis. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. It's kind of a freaky thing. It's kind of a voice from outside of you that's trying to speak to you. And if you listen to it, maybe it'll tell you to do good things or bad things. But I've been noticing a lot of strange
stories. Has it been telling you to do bad things, Clyde?
What's that?
Nothing.
No, I was noticing in news the other day, some guy decided that he would get an armored vehicle in Australia, and he mowed down a bunch of cell phone towers.
Oh, I saw that. No, he got a tank, and he drove down, he knocked over 5 cell phone towers. It was
wonderful.
Yeah,
he was told to do this by some voice, and he did it because he felt his health was in danger. So, I mean, these are the things that, you know, one of the things that really has me floored is that, you know, outside we hear people yelling and screaming about how problematic the world is and how problematic the country is, but inside we have something that is telling us that we should do something, but we don't do it. It's kind of like the idea that Chertoff had his gut feeling, and it's just to kind of build upon that gut feeling idea that what is that gut feeling and what are you doing to make it better. And so it's kind of, you know, today we're going to kind of explore that a little bit more interesting news. Like, for example, Tony Blair, I don't know if you heard about this.
Does he have clothing made out of meat?
No, he didn't make a building out of meat. He's moving into a palace in Jerusalem, and it's going to be looking at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And what's really scary about that is that Tony Blair has, if you go in and you type in Tony Blair Antichrist, he barely comes in second place. He comes in second place to George Bush. For some reason, his ranking as Antichrist shot up since he bought this palace in Jerusalem. It's really hilarious.
Does he win a prize or something if he gets the number one?
What's that?
Nothing.
See, I don't know what he gets. I don't know what you have to do to get to number one. And Prince William didn't even make it on the top. So I'm in the minority when I say that Prince William, I think, is the Antichrist. But you know how that goes.
Okay.
I'm always in the minority, and then eventually I'm proven right. You know that.
Of course. Ground Zero Lounge tonight, 8 o'clock at Dante's, and
yes,
then this coming
Friday. And remember,
Friday.
Ground Zero Live at 338 Southwest Corbett's going to be happening at 6, and we're going to set up big equipment and go at it online. It'll be awesome.
Ground Zero Media. .org is the website. Thank you, my friend.
All right, bye-bye.
Clyde Lewis. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Skulking off into the night. Okay.
I love him.
Yes.
You guys are such... You have a brother relationship.
There's no way to logically interface with Clyde and someone.
Well, there's no way to interrupt when he's on a roll.
That's the thing, and it's like Clyde is the master of the non sequitur. I mean, blah, 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 and the Tony Blair and the Antichrist. It's like there's no... What are you supposed to say? I just sort of kind of grunt noncommittally most of the time. There's really no way to have a back and forth about that. We'll roll to the news here in just a second. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
What exactly are you looking for when you travel? I mean, are you looking into the culture or anything like that?
Well, as I said, I mean, I'm into kind of recent history. Like, I realize this is just a me thing, but it's like my wife, for example, she went and she saw a bunch of Aztec pyramids, you know, and it's like they were like a billion years old and they did a human sacrifice and they did whatever. And I mean, it's all interesting to some people. It's just not that interesting to me. Much more recent history, I think, just because I got a small brain, is like more interesting and graspable. Like, what were you saying? You can see, were you saying there's like a Churchill thing? You could see there?
Yes.
There was like some, you know, Winston Churchill thing, and there's the Whitechapel tour, which is the Jack the Ripper tour. I mean, stuff like that that is sort of within sight, you might say. Stuff that is more recent and, you know, a little bit more known to our own time. That stuff like that's more interesting to me.
Because, like, about 2 years ago, I went to Guadalajara, and one of the great things about that is it's considered one of Portland's sister cities, so I got direct flight, so I don't have to worry about, like, all that crap, you know, layovers.
Right.
Taking 14 hours to get somewhere, and it cost me like $400 to fly. And unfortunately, at the time that I was actually on my trip, I was unemployed, and I was able to make it 6 days for like $400.
See, the whole idea of going to a country where you can make it 6 days on basically the change in your pockets kind of unnerves me. I want to go. I mean, really, I know
too far.
This is more of painting me as an ugly American, but just the notion of going someplace where everybody lives in like a dirt hole is just not a thing that appeals to me. I would like to avoid that if at all possible.
Well, the city is actually, I thought it was pretty neat. I mean, you would walk maybe 3 blocks and there'd be another church, and when you walked inside, you know, there's
really big extravagance, and the churches are 300 years old, and there's gold fixtures everywhere. I mean, you think of Mexico as being like a third world country, and here they have gold everywhere in these churches, and it was just kind of interesting. And the food was really good, and I stayed in a hotel that was like $18 a night, and it wasn't the hole in the wall. It was actually really nice, and I don't know, it's just interesting. But, you know, the ugly American thing, it was kind of funny because my friend that I was with, she was also unemployed at the time. It's like, how bad does that look that we're on vacation in another country?
Seriously,
you don't want to have a job.
Neither of you have a job, and yet you can live like kings in Mexico. I do. Is it true that they kind of look askance at you if you're an American? There's that joke about pretending you're from Canada. Is that true, or is that a fiction?
I don't know. Every person that I met down there was really, really nice. They didn't... I mean, granted, it would have been nice if we had known some Spanish because there were certain areas where it would have come in
right.
handy. But probably one of the most interesting parts of the trip was when we actually visited the city of Tequila, where tequila is made. Like, all Mexican tequila comes
right,
out of
right.
the city of Tequila, distillery tour and all
Excellent.
That kind of stuff. So it was really fun.
All right.
So,
thank you, my friend.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, there you go.
If you go to Ireland, you can go to the Guinness factory.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's rad. And they also have the, I can't remember what whiskey it is. It's Irish whiskey. You can go to the whiskey factory, too, and they give you free shots.
See, and again, like the language thing, like Lara's so much more adventurous than I am. Like, it doesn't matter. It's like with the subway thing. I mean, it's like she's somewhere where she doesn't speak a word. She will totally just jump in and do it anyway. It doesn't faze her at all. Whereas I immediately become terrified. If I'm in a place where they're just like, you know, and I can't even imagine, you know, going to a country where the vast majority of the populace is not speaking my language, I think, because I would just be convinced that they were plotting to rob me at every moment. I mean, I really wouldn't have to speak.
Or how to use basic things, like once I went to Belgium and I had to do some laundry, and the instructions, this is at 10 o'clock at night when the city's closed, the instructions on the washing machine were in Walloon. So
I don't even know what that means.
That's one of the languages that they speak in,
really?
In Belgium. And I had the washing machine full of soggy clothes, and I'm hanging them out the window to dry, and
Wonderful.
It's like 30 degrees outside.
Excellent. We're so behind. All right, have ye news for us, Tim?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, we should break here. We'll come back and do the news. How did we get so behind? Oh, Clyde.
I can't believe it's 2 o'clock.
That's what I'm saying.
That wasn't Clyde.
Clyde in Italy.
It was a live read last break that went 10 minutes.
That is true. All right, we come back. Tim Riley, a great penis watch. We'll talk to Peter Carlin. We'll do a top five as well. About an hour away from Tom Likas. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. When I see the price you pay, I don't want to grow. I don't ever want to be that way. When I don't want to grow.
Your attention, please. This radio station has been taken over. For the foreseeable future, we will want. Do not involve authorities.
This is AM 970, Solid State Radio.
That is all.
Could I be more of an ugly American?
Sorry that we're, like, yelling at you.
No, it's fine. I mean, I know that it is, and I will say that...
I'm just all excited because
I'm
just jealous that you get to go somewhere.
I know, and I anticipated the big lecture when I opened my mouth, because every time I say, I don't want to, like, see whatever, you always uncork the whole, Mom, how do you know you don't like liver if you haven't tried it? Which is totally, and I understand that. I realize these. I know that it is not easy being married to me. And so my wife, God bless her, is trying to put together some sort of an out-of-the-country vacation thing that will... She's trying to make it as painless for me as possible. So I know that she's trying to find some place that I will be interested in. But I think... And don't get me wrong, I was not excited. But, I mean, I was sort of okay with going to Italy. Just because Italian culture is kind of interesting to me. And frankly, like, the whole notion of Italian food, even though I know it's drastically different than what we have here in America, that was kind of interesting to me, too. The idea of going and having, like, actual, whether northern or southern, actual Italian food. But, goddamn, like, $3,000 just for the tickets. I mean, I don't even know how much it would... I don't know
if
it's...
You go to the spaghetti factory and eat for $10.
Ride the tram. Like, how much is it, like, for two people to go to, like, England and back? Like, how much is that? Like, how much am I going to pay for that?
Wait, I'm sorry, to
like, neither of you were listening, and then you both tried to
tell. Oh, it was like probably like a 600 round trip.
Oh, really? See, that's for two or just one?
You know, I was just reading. Aaron, Geek in the City, just sent me an email. It's like, you can also visit the house used as Lily and James Potter's home in Godric Hollow.
Right. Well, that and the Jack the Ripper to the Whitechapel tour, that's almost enough to get me there. And I know that this just makes me sound like a retarded...
And there's a platform 9 3/4 there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're screwed. You're totally
going. And now, here's back to my revisiting my ugly American business with Lisa Goddard. So so England is near other things. What is England near?
Scotland.
Scotland, Ireland. You can get to Amsterdam very easily.
Yep. So she'd be into that. Mm-hmm. All right.
Like,
okay.
It's smack dab in the middle of everything.
All right. See, that's not so bad. And the jet lag probably isn't going to be as severe as if I went to some place like on the other side of the freaking planet.
Well, it's 8 hours ahead.
So I'm going to be screwed regardless. All right.
So by the time you adapt to it, it's going to be time to go home.
I just don't really care about going and seeing, like, look, here's a stone hut from 14,000 years ago. Like, I just don't care. I know
what
I'm supposed to.
What month do you
want to
go?
What's that?
What month are you going?
September.
September. Okay, I'll pick out something here.
So the deal,
that's when I was there. I was there from, like, July to
let
December.
You guys schedule my life for me. Really, it would function much better, probably. So she's going to be gone for 3 weeks. I will be gone for one of those weeks. And I will let you know as soon as possible, because I know that you, Sarah, wish to be gone probably at the same time.
I'm going to be going to New York City.
Why can't you be going to some other continent and I can be going to New York?
She's already been there. You haven't.
I'm just saying. Fine. All right.
Your eyes will be open, Drake. You'll be very excited.
Yeah, I suppose.
You gotta like it.
I know.
You gotta like it a lot.
Can we take in a suitcase full of spray cheese with me so I can have a little taste of home?
Oh my God, no! London is so Americanized.
Really?
Oh yeah, a Pizza Hut and a McDonald's on every corner.
And I know it makes me retarded that makes me more willing to go there. that's the ugly side of my personality.
I did have the best cheeseburger of my life at a McDonald's in Paris, France.
See, the idea of going and eating McDonald's in Paris is strangely appealing to me, and I don't know why.
I had heard rumors that it was really good, and they're completely different there, and it was awesome.
I know, and I don't want people to think I'm doing this as like a shuck or a prop or something. It's not that. I mean, I don't know. I think I was born without certain genes, and I think the bug to travel is one of them. And I'm not saying that I haven't gone to places and liked it. I certainly have, but I think a lot of people were just born with just itchy feet. You know, a lot of people were just born with a desire to kind of get out and go places and see things. What is it, Jimmy Stewart says? I'm going to shake the dust of this little town off my feet, and I'm going to see the Parthenon, or whatever it is he says in It's a Wonderful Life. And I just don't, I have to be dragged places. And I know that, I mean, I don't know what that's all about. It's just something that I have or don't have in my genetic makeup. But I got to be at gunpoint, shoved onto the airplane and taken to places. Because left to my own devices, I would just sit at home and watch cable and eat, you know, like frozen pizza and never do anything.
See, I've got to be, like, kept somewhere at gunpoint. I haven't lived anywhere for longer than 4 years my entire life until I moved to Portland,
yeah.
And now it's been 5 years. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Seems like a long time.
So for like a little over a week, it'll be $1,000 a person, including round trip flight and a hotel.
So it's like $2,000 to England and back.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see,
and
a
stay.
And that's again that and a stay. See, because it's just the airfare.
Yeah.
For both of us to Italy and back is like I said, it's like three large, and there's
no you don't want to do that.
I mean. And again, it's you know, when I say I have the money, it's not even really that I have the money so much as she has the money that I am occasionally allowed to benefit from. I am occasionally allowed to suckle at the financial teat of her bank account. But it's you know, it's just I don't care who you are, and I don't care how much money you make. $3,000 is $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, burn
so you can
that.
Stay at Earl's Court for $1,090 a person, so that's for almost a week.
How retarded is it that the Harry Potter tour is the thing that puts me over the top? Like, all right. Oh, go!
I can't wait to see all your pictures if you do go.
Mm-hmm.
You will have the nerdiest photos, I swear.
Yeah, I know. All right.
And I have all kinds of books on London that I can give to you.
No, the great thing about her is she'll totally master the tube system in like a day.
Because
that's her thing with the subway. Like, we went to New York, and I swear to God, it was like she was in the Matrix downloading it into the back of her head. Like, she looked at the subway map, it was all like... I know Kung Fu. But it was like her thing with, like, I know the subway system. And she immediately had Manhattan and the Bronx and Queens and everything, like, sussed in, like, a day. So
you can leave September 11th and return on Sunday the 16th. Is that long enough?
I'd love to fly on September 11th.
Okay. Well, I got a little plan for you.
I bet it'll be cheap. Well, you know what? When
if you're leaving on September 11th, that means I'm leaving on September 11th
in
to New York City.
Yeah.
Oh, that's comforting.
Well, you know what? When we went to see Rockstar Supernova last year, remember we flew back on September 11th and it was free because they had moved. We had missed our flight and they gave us, I mean, it wasn't free, but I mean, we'd missed our flight on September the 10th. And because we had to fly back on September 11th, they did not charge us to fly the next day because no one wanted to fly because it was empty. LAX was empty on September 11th, and so it was like no surcharge. There was no fee for that. See, here comes the here come the calls. Here they come. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Dude, I can't believe you're bitching about having to go to Europe.
I'm not bitching about it. I'm bitching a little bit.
I can't believe that.
I'm not complaining about it as such. No, I'm just saying I'm a homebody, as they say.
That's cool and all, but man, especially if it's not even on your dime, you ought to just suck it up and, oh, darn, I'll just go to Italy.
Oh, that's what I say. My wife, and, you know, I'm not even paying for it. My wife's paying for the whole thing, clearly, so.
You know, just bow at her feet and thank God you actually have a chance to go there.
Yeah.
I would love to go to Europe if I had the chance.
Yeah.
I'll go in your place.
Yeah, I agree, man.
The pinch husband. Be like that friend of hers that goes to a Blazers games with her when I don't want to go.
Exactly.
I'm going to the Blazers game with Schultz. I'm like, all right, you kids have a good time. Yeah. No, I know that I, and again, I don't mean to complain about it as such. I'm just saying I am a fundamentally boring person. That's the thing.
Cool.
I'm just kind of a tedious guy.
I just got to say, a good buddy of mine, he's headed off to Europe for, I believe he actually left today. And, you know, lucky bastard. But he was going to go to Hawaii, or his mom offered him a ticket to Hawaii. And he's like, oh, well, I'd already been there so many times. I just don't think I'll go. I'll just
pass.
Here.
Yeah.
They're like, what?
Yeah. No,
dude,
I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll go and I'll come back and I'll suddenly be, you know, I'll be that guy with, like, the canvas bag slung over his shoulder and a patch from every country.
Exactly. And a beret.
Totally come back with a beret and a clove cigarette. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All
see
right,
you, man.
Bye now.
So a little over $1,000 and you can do it.
All right. Well, so there you go.
Are we sold on that?
Well, I it's not me. It's the... I'm not the banker. It's the she who must
Italy.
Pay the bills.
You can go to Italy and listen to Italian and have pigeons attacking you waiting for handouts as you're awaiting an audience with the Pope.
That was, as dumb as this sounds, that was the other thing that was enticing to me about Italy was the chance to see the Vatican. As fallen of a Catholic as I am, the chance to go and see the Vatican was sort of interesting to me.
St. Paul's Cathedral is very beautiful, too, and that's in London.
Yeah, and I don't really care that much.
And there are plenty of empty churches around here.
That's going to say, it doesn't have to be the Vatican. I'm not that into it, so.
And the best pizza I've ever had in my life was actually... Well, except for in New York, but one of the best ones was in London.
All right.
Next to the place I used to live, which I'll give you the address for.
Well, so I'll give her the big pitch on that.
So you're leaving September 11th, returning on the 16th. It'll cost $1,054 a person.
Like, Tim's, I'm picturing Tim with like a little fiber optic headset.
Is that including accommodations?
It does, yes.
Oh,
would you prefer aisle or middle, Ms. German? Would there be anything else?
You can still choose that.
All right. Well, let's see. We'll get back to this in just a second.
I think it's all a done deal. I think we found closure.
Oh, okay.
You're going to London.
Shall I click submit to purchase? Well done.
If I did that, it'd already be on my credit card.
All right. Well, we will speak with Tim Riley here in just a moment at the Ministry of Truth. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from GroundZeroMedia.org, host of the Ground Zero Lounge. Montes at Dante's, our good friend Clyde Lewis. Hello, sir.
How you doing?
What's up, brother?
Clyde.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited because there's a lot of cool things going on in the world of Ground Zero, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Excellent.
We recently, I've been working very hard and feverishly at ideocast.com, putting together some network shows. We put together about 13, and then I just did a new one on the moon landing, which is very fascinating stuff. And it's available now at ideocast.com. You can listen to all of them. They're amazing. And they're produced and put together. But the cool thing is that I finally figured out a way to broadcast live on the internet. And so I'm going to set up some equipment, and I'm going to do an experimental launch of Ground Zero Live on the internet at the Ross Island Grocery on Friday, and that will be at 6 p.m. So if anybody wants to show up, I mean, there's libations there you can have. You can sit in. We may even have you say hello to the world on the show. A lot of people said they want to come and just be a part of it. It's at 3338 Southwest Corbett, and it'll be starting at 6 o'clock. We're just going to get together. We're going to do a test run of the show on IdeoCast, and it may be a thing that we're going to do on Fridays for a while because we've got the technology, and people are really excited about the shows that we put over. If you haven't seen IdeoCast.com yet, where I'm doing my shows.
And that's Ideo with an O, right?
Yeah, it's Ideo, IdeoCast.com. You can go there and you can listen to them. They're pretty self-contained, really, really nice. We're starting a bunch of them. We've got Ground Zero Continuum. We've got Ground Zero Lounge, which is going to be tonight at Dante's at 8. We recorded last week's show. It's the new and improved Ground Zero Lounge. I'm now doing doing it solo. I'm doing it by myself, and we have a great opener, and we have two microphones now, so audience debate can take place. So if I say something and an audience member has one opinion and it's a differing opinion than mine, or it's a differing opinion than the other guy that's on the microphone, we have a debate going on. So it's basically a big debate ringmaster type of affair.
So at any moment, violence is at hand.
Well, we have bouncers that can escort people out if there's violence. We've had violence before at Ground Zero lounges. What happens is if you get violent, you get thrown out of the bar. But we've had that before. But we've mainly realized that when you go into the Ground Zero lounge, you're going into debate as a sport rather than going in and taking it personally. If you're going to take things personally at the Ground Zero lounge, it's not a place for people who are wimpy. It's a place for people who love to argue, talk about subject matter. Even if they think it's absurd, they bring it up and talk about it. All kinds of characters there. We had a woman there one week who said that she didn't like the fact that I was talking about Western medicine. She yelled at me when I asked her what she did. She said she made clothing out of meat. I'm not kidding
you. The look on Tim's face just now is priceless. Tim, you got to go. Violence and meat.
She said she made clothing out of meat, and of course, Street Elvis was there last week talking to us about how he feels that George W. Bush is a reptile alien from another planet.
Okay.
We get weird, we get conspiracy, we get weird, we get crazy, and sometimes we even get right on the money. So, I mean, there's a lot of great discussion going on, and it's at the Ground Zero Lounge tonight at 8. Tonight, I have a feeling I'm going to be talking about some very interesting things. I'm going to talk about something called Valis, and you can look it up online. Philip K. Dick was a science fiction writer who claimed that he was hit by a beam of light, and it basically enlightened him, and he said it was by a supercomputer called Valis that was observing this planet. And what's really funny is I did some investigating into Valis, and come to find out some of the most remarkable minds that exist here on this planet today claim the same thing, that they were visited or at least prompted or they've been receiving messages from something similar to Valis. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. It's kind of a freaky thing. It's kind of a voice from outside of you that's trying to speak to you. And if you listen to it, maybe it'll tell you to do good things or bad things. But I've been noticing a lot of strange
stories. Has it been telling you to do bad things, Clyde?
What's that?
Nothing.
No, I was noticing in the news the other day, some guy decided that he would get an armored vehicle in Australia, and he mowed down a bunch of cell phone towers.
Oh, I saw that. No, he got a tank, and he drove down. He knocked over 5 cell phone towers. It was
wonderful. He was told to do this by some voice, and he did it because he felt his health was in danger. So, I mean, these are the things that, you know, one of the things that really has me floored is that, you know, outside we hear people yelling and screaming about how problematic the world is and how problematic the country is, but inside we have something that is telling us that we should do something, but we don't do it. It's kind of like the idea that Chertoff had his gut feeling, and it's just to kind of build upon that gut feeling idea that what is that gut feeling and what are you doing to make it better. And so it's kind of, you know, today we're going to kind of explore that a little bit more interesting news. Like, for example, Tony Blair, I don't know if you heard about this.
Does he have clothing made out of meat?
No, he didn't make a building out of meat. He's moving into a palace in Jerusalem, and it's going to be looking at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And what's really scary about that is that Tony Blair has, if you go in and you type in Tony Blair Antichrist, he barely comes in second place. He comes in second place to George Bush. For some reason, his ranking as Antichrist shot up since he bought this palace in Jerusalem. It's really hilarious.
Does he win a prize or something if he gets to number one?
What's that?
Nothing.
I don't know what he gets. I don't know what you have to do to get to number one. And Prince William didn't even make it on the top. So I'm in the minority when I say that Prince William, I think, is the Antichrist. But you know how that goes.
Okay.
I'm always in the minority, and then eventually I'm proven right. You know that.
Of course. Ground Zero Lounge tonight, 8 o'clock at Dante's, and
yes,
then this coming
Friday. And remember,
Friday.
Ground Zero Live at 338 Southwest Corbett's going to be happening at 6, and we're going to set up big equipment and go at it online. It'll be awesome.
Ground Zero Media. .org is the website. Thank you, my friend.
All right, bye-bye.
Clyde Lewis. There you go, ladies and gentlemen, skulking off into the night. Okay.
I love him.
Yes.
You guys are you have a brother relationship.
There's no way to logically interface with Clyde.
There's no way to interrupt when he's on a roll.
That's the thing, and it's like Clyde is the master of the non sequitur. I mean, blah, 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 and the Tony Blair and the Antichrist. It's like there's no, what are you supposed to say? I just sort of kind of grunt noncommittally most of the time. There's really no way to have a back and forth about that. We'll roll to the news here in just a second. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
So... what exactly are you looking for when you travel? I mean, are you looking into the culture or anything like that?
Well, as I said, I mean, I'm into kind of recent history. Like I, and again, I'm not trying to. I realize this is just a me thing, but it's like my wife, for example, she went and she saw a bunch of Aztec pyramids, you know, and it's like they were like a billion years old and they did human sacrifice and they did whatever. And I mean, it's all interesting to some people. It's just not that interesting to me. Much more recent history, I think, just because I got a small brain, is like more interesting and graspable. Like, what were you saying? You can see, were you saying there's like a Churchill thing? You could see there?
Yes.
In the, yeah, there was like some, you know, Winston Churchill thing, and there's the Whitechapel tour, which is the Jack the Ripper tour. I mean, stuff like that that is sort of within sight, you might say. Stuff that is more recent and, you know, a little bit more known to our own time. That stuff like that's more interesting to me.
Because, like, about 2 years ago, I went to Guadalajara, and one of the great things about that is it's considered one of Portland's sister cities, so I got direct flight, so I don't have to worry about, like, all that crap, you know, layovers.
Right.
Taking 14 hours to get somewhere, and it cost me like $400 to fly. And unfortunately, at the time that I was actually on my trip, I was unemployed, and I was able to make it 6 days for like $400.
See, the whole idea of going to a country where you can make it 6 days on basically the change in your pockets kind of unnerves me. I want to go. I mean, really, I know
too far.
This is more of painting me as an ugly American, but just the notion of going someplace where everybody lives in like a dirt hole is just not a thing that appeals to me. I would like to avoid that if at all possible.
Well, the city is actually, I thought it was pretty neat. I mean, you would walk maybe three blocks and there'd be another church, and when you walked inside, you know, there's really big extravagance and the churches are 300 years old and there's gold fixtures everywhere. I mean, you think of Mexico being like a third world country, and here they have gold everywhere in these churches, and it was kind of interesting. And the food was really good, and I stayed in a hotel that was like $18 a night, and it wasn't the hole in the wall. It was actually really nice, and I don't know, it's just interesting. But you know, the ugly American thing, it was kind of funny because my friend that I was with, she was also unemployed at the time. It's like, how bad does that look that we're on vacation in a country?
Seriously, neither of you have a job, and yet you can live like kings in Mexico. I do. Is it true that they kind of look askance at you if you're an American? There's that joke about pretending you're from Canada. Is that true, or is that a fiction?
I don't know. Every person that I met down there was really, really nice. They didn't. I mean, granted, it would have been nice if we had known some Spanish, because there were certain areas where it would have come in
right.
handy, but. Probably one of the most interesting parts of the trip was when we actually visited the city of Tequila, where tequila is made, like all Mexican tequila comes
right,
out of
right.
the city, tequila, distillery tour and all
Excellent.
That kind of stuff. So it was really fun.
All right.
So,
thank you, my friend.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, there you go.
If you go to Ireland, you can go to the Guinness factory.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's rad. And they also have the, I can't remember what whiskey it is. It's Irish whiskey. You can go to the whiskey factory, too, and they give you free shots.
See, and again, like, the language thing, like, Lara's so much more adventurous than I am. Like, it doesn't matter. It's like with the subway thing. I mean, it's like, she's somewhere where she doesn't speak a word. She will totally just jump in and do it anyway. It doesn't faze her at all. Whereas I immediately become terrified. If I'm in a place where they're just, like, you know, and I can't even imagine, you know, going to a country where the vast majority of the populace is not speaking my language, I think, because I would just be convinced that they were plotting to rob me at every moment. I mean, I really wouldn't have to speak.
Or how to use basic things, like once I went to Belgium, and I had to do some laundry, and the instructions, this is at 10 o'clock at night, when the city's closed, the instructions on the washing machine were in Walloon. So
I don't even know what that means.
That's one of the languages that they speak in,
really?
In Belgium. And I had the washing machine full of soggy clothes, and I'm hanging them out the window to dry, and
Wonderful.
It's like 30 degrees outside.
Excellent. We're so behind. All right. Have ye news for us, Tim?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, we should break here. We'll come back and do the news. How did we get so behind? Oh, Clyde.
I can't believe it's 2 o'clock.
That's what I'm saying.
It wasn't Clyde.
Clyde in Italy.
It was a live read last break that went 10 minutes.
That is true. All right. We come back. Tim Riley, a great penis watch. We'll talk to Peter Carlin. We'll do a top five as well. About an hour away from Tom Likas. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. When I see the price of you, babe, I don't want to grow up. We'll be right back. No, it's like a Lady Hawk irony. Because you will want to go, and yet you will be not going. I will want to stay, and yet I will be on a plane heading to another time zone.
I know, I haven't been there for, for 7 years.
All right. 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Yeah, I haven't been since I started this job.
Sorry. Sorry to bother you with that pesky employment.
I know. Why do you think I'm jumping on the whole, you're gone for a week? I'm already making plans.
Yeah.
Well, you never go anywhere.
No, and that's I've got this email here. Let's see. Rick, Scotland is 6 hours away by rail. You need to go for 2 weeks. A week in England will go by way too fast. See, it's not even, I mean, look, once I'm there, it's not even about whether I'm there for 10 days or 2 weeks. But it's like, I just can't just subject everybody to 2 weeks worth of best of. It just goes against my grain. You know what I mean?
Take a week.
That's what, no, I mean, it will be, I mean, I will be, what I'll probably do is I will probably leave on
Tuesday.
A Friday. I'll leave on a Friday, and I'll be gone Saturday, Sunday, all the next week, and then I'll probably come back Sunday. And then I'll be hosed when I come in Monday. So I will come back all out of it and loopy and full of jet lag and whatever. But I...
Excellent.
Yeah, I would feel bad taking more than a week off, because then people have to sit and listen to a bunch of tedious, moldy best ofs that we're pawning off
on them.
Are you
saying what we're doing right now that might be a future best of is tedious and moldy?
Yes, I am, Sarah.
Hmm.
Completely without value. Here's Tim Riley.
All those crazy kids, a school science experiment of sorts, has some of the lower teens in trouble. They range from ages 13 to 16. They were making bombs out of dry ice.
No.
And police arrived just in the nick of time to hear a loud kaboom. They questioned the kids. They got the recipe from the internet and decided to try it out with ingredients, including dry ice that they bought from a grocery store. Dry ice bombs are extremely dangerous, cautioned the authorities. The maker has no idea when the bomb will explode and has no fuse, and by how much force. The power contained in such a device can cause serious physical injury, even death. The juveniles are warned not to make any bombs anymore. Of course, they're not going to listen. Portland is the topic of a national television program tonight on the History Channel, entitled Cities of the Underworld, Underground Bootleggers. It's on at 9. It describes Portland as this. 100 years ago, Portland, Oregon was America's Sodom, a city full of vice, considered the most dangerous port in the world. It was a place where you could get drugs and booze or wake up trapped in a cell beneath the earth. Expanses of underground tunnels enabled slave traders, opium runners, and speakeasies to flourish. And they're going to visit that tonight.
Excellent.
Gambling dens, fight clubs, and slave tunnels.
Really?
Yeah. You should go on vacation here.
I was going to say, why do I need to leave home? Sounds fantastic. Excellent.
Meanwhile, thousands of people are being evacuated from central England as the rivers burst their banks. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown has visited some of the worst-hit areas.
The coordination that has taken place between the police, the fire, ambulance, all the emergency services and the armed forces, and the support of the local people, which has been magnificent, has meant that people are being protected and people are being given the support that they
He's
need.
He's awful long-winded. The flooding will get worse.
We've got to protect people, and we've got to make sure that people are safe. And the first duty of any emergency services and of any government is to make sure that lives are protected and people are kept safe and protected by all the emergency services that are available.
Seriously, I fell asleep halfway through
Britain.
You get to see Parliament.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, Scotty, is this our friend Peter Carlin? So my whole schedule, my carefully laid out schedule is torn asunder. All right. So, Tim Riley, can we, as they say, put a pin in that?
Perhaps later you hear about the man who stole a ferret to pay a bill and Newt Gingrich calling the GOP a pathetic bunch of pygmies.
Pygmies, really?
That's correct.
All right. Yes. Okay, well, let's do this then. Peter Carlin and then Tim Riley will return here in just a skosh, as they say. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Oregonian TV critic, Peter Carlin. Hello, sir.
Hey, hi. How are you doing? Are you doing good? Are you well?
You're sounding...
Are you fine? We haven't talked for a while. You got that sound in your voice, and you thought that because of my first couple syllables that I was in a crappy mood.
You're sounding exuberant as always, sir. Glad to be here is what you sound like.
I'm happy to be anywhere at this point, but yes. Thank you.
How's life? How are things? You don't sound so well.
I'm tired.
Yeah, where are you at? Are you in L.A.?
I'm in L.A.
Are they doing that? No, this isn't the... What are they doing? Is it like some critic? Are you being feted, as they say? Is that how you pronounce that? Fated? Feted? What's that word?
I smell feted at this point. as a result of all this feting.
You sound really drunk, is what you sound.
No, I'm lying out here on the balcony of this room that I'm in, and but it's been and it's sunny, which is nice, but it's just been a procession of very long days and long nights, and not a lot of downtime, not a lot of shut eye.
And so this is
This is the TV Critics Association summer press tour.
I see. All right. And so this is where they're just bringing. Now, do you sit in one place and they bring people to talk to you, or do they have people sitting in one place and you go in to talk to them?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right.
No, I mean, is it? In other words, this is where they are giving you, access to stars or an overview of programs that are coming up. Is that the deal?
Yep.
And so,
executives and the whole, it's all the networks take turns coming into this hotel here in the Beverly Hilton and this time and, trying to bedazzle us. And we, but then there's a lot of field trips and parties and places, other places to go and see and do and stuff. So it's just a lot of time spent
drinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
But how are you? What's new?
I'm fine.
Are you well?
No, I'm.
How's the missus? How's your hair? It's been a long time since we talked.
Yes, it has. Hey, real quickly, because I know you, Scotty, has up the screen. You have quote limited time. Have you seen that series? And I'm sure you have. Are you watching that Mad Men series?
Yeah, I love it.
And so I am about halfway through the first episode. I'm still playing a little catch up, as they say. But is that series? Have you seen anything beyond the first few episodes? Have you seen the first two, three? What, or are you just watching it with the commoners?
Screw the commoners. I have I have four episodes. I've seen two of them, and I'd be watching the rest now. But I'm
too drunk
to
operate the remote.
Yeah. Well, no. Right. I watch them on my computer here with the groovy with the DVD drive.
Excellent. All right. So.
But anyway, do I seem completely detached from reality as you know it,
Sarah?
You seem completely drunk.
I'm not. I'm stone cold sober.
Really?
I'm just lying here. Maybe I sound different because I'm lying on my lying on a chaise lounge in the sun.
Does that typically make you? Does your choice of seat typically influence the way you speak?
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm sitting up. How's that sound? A little more awake.
You sound much more authoritative.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's been sort of a blogapalooza. I think I've blogged like 30,000 words so far, maybe more.
When are you? Yes.
Newspaper articles.
When are you headed back?
Well, now a radio interview. Yes, what?
When are you headed back to Portland, sir?
Friday, I think.
Excellent. Well, are you at least enjoying the sun while you're there?
You know what? It rained last night. For like the first time in July in 37 years.
Well, maybe it's just that you're being punished by some sort of deity, some higher power.
Yeah.
Maybe the people at COIN have done some sort of a hex to punish you.
What did I do to them?
I don't know. Haven't you written like 1,000 different? Did like somebody from COIN like hit your car or something, or like kick your dog? Because this is like didn't like what like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks you wrote like the ninth hit piece on COIN Television.
You got a problem with that?
No, I'm just making an observation, my friend.
Well, I don't know. There was a time, they changed owners, and so that was rife with all kinds of possibility, story-wise.
Yes.
And then other stuff was happening that I can't remember now off the top of my head. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think I did write something mean about them again.
Excellent.
And somebody fired, or they should have gotten fired, or no, they were about to get seldom again. That was it.
All right. Hey, I'm gonna let you get back to soaking in the rays in Los Angeles to whatever extent that's possible, my friend.
Well, I'm about to head back down to our hermetically sealed ballroom. So.
All right. Well, I don't know if you see. I was gonna say if you see Aaron Spelling, but that's not really possible at this point.
No, he's not coming around anymore.
No. All right. Enjoy Los Angeles, Peter. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah, you very well may. I will be home, I believe, by then.
All right, there you go.
You should come in the studio.
Yeah, you should come. Yeah, you should come and see us again in our new digs. You only been here once.
Where, you mean the ones by the, on First Avenue?
Yes.
Near the Cheers?
Yes.
Creator? Okay.
Yep. The studio is even
is
more.
It different from what, different from when I was there before?
It's even more plushly appointed, so we have a new refrigerator.
Oh, There's your lead.
All right. Peter Carlin, read him in print in the Oregonian or online at OregonLive.com. He's Peter Carlin. Scotty, can you make sure Peter gets off the phone all right there? Thank you.
Drunkity, drunk, drunk.
God damn.
Jesus.
I like him drunk.
I'm not. He claims he's not.
You know, he didn't say he wasn't drinking. He said that he wasn't drunk.
That's true. So
and he is a man of war. He is a wordsmith, that Peter Carlin.
On the way to drunkenness. He was en route to drunkenness. Yeah, I like intoxicated Peter Carlin. All right, Rick, you should make Phone Monkey Scotty J come in and do the entire show where you're gone, in addition to running the entire show. That would be great. I don't think that's going to happen, sir. Let's see. What are we... let's get Pat. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Pat.
This isn't Pat.
Well, I swear to God, it says on the screen that you're Pat.
Scotty didn't even answer my
Wait, hold on. Let's find out. Hold on. Don't go anywhere.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our intrepid PA, the one and only Scotty J, joining us now in the studio. Why, hello, Scotty J. How are you?
Well, good afternoon, Idiotville.
What are you doing?
The city is so remotely in the Tillamook Burns that you're an idiot if you work there. Yes, it is.
There's no Idiotville.
Yep.
There's no town called Idiotville.
Uh-huh.
There isn't a town. Scotty. There's no town called Idiotville. All right, I'm going to look it up right now.
There is an Idiotville.
So claims Wikipedia. Scotty probably put that in himself. All right. Scotty, this...
Oh, it's the ghost town. I have heard of that.
This claims to be Pat, and yet it's not Pat.
Right.
How do you explain that?
Because I put Pat on hold, and every once in a while I glance over there, and the light's still holding in red, so I don't, like, go back and ask him again. So Pat hung up. I'm still doing my work. Look over there. Still red. New guy's in place, so... It's a very high-tech system.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, what was your comment?
I was just wondering what the TV program was that Tim was talking about, Portland. I was just going
to ask
how you need to be on the air.
It is called, I've got this right here, actually. It's called, I think it's called Portland Underground. It's on the, Underground Portland. It's on the History Channel tonight at 9 p.m.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, who's not Pat. Hello, Scotty.
How's it going?
All right. Hey, how's the smoking going?
Excellent.
Still wearing the patch?
Still wearing the patch.
Have you see, smoked?
Nope. What I do is I wear the patch. Some days I go without it. Some days if I'm feeling a little edgy, I'll put it back on. So
when is the last time you smoked?
Almost 2 weeks ago tomorrow.
So you have not smoked since that Tuesday.
That's correct.
You did it again. You keep
averting
your eyes.
I always avert my eyes. Ask me any question.
You do not. You constantly stare in a creepy way. You never avert your eyes.
Why do you do that?
Creepy way? I'm going to stop looking at you then.
It is. You know what it is?
I didn't mean you were creepy, Scott.
You have a total sales guy thing where, yeah, whenever I ask any question, you just look the other way when you answer
I do
me.
Not.
Now you're just being
Sorry.
A tool.
No, right. It's going good. I actually have more energy, so...
All right, you're wearing the patch today?
Yeah.
All right, let me see it. Where's the patch? All right, okay. Now, when you put that on, how long does it take for it to have it to kick in? Like, when do you start feeling the nicotine?
You know, it could just be mental, but it feels like within the first 5 minutes or something.
Well, that's probably...
Takes off the
probably
edge.
Isn't. That probably isn't really happening, so that probably is a mental thing. All right, so have you been tempted to smoke?
Yeah, be honest with you.
Is your wife still smoking?
She's still smoking, so it's hard to be around that and smell it, but it stinks. You know, my senses are coming back, so it stinks.
Your senses have come alive.
Yeah, it stinks.
Now, is she being supportive?
No, very much so, and I think she's going to be quitting. I can't say when that's going to be. Because mm-hmm. she, you know, changed jobs, and so, you know, it's her deal of dealing with stress. You know, that's what smokers do.
Now, she got her new job right now?
Yes.
Okay, excellent.
She just moved real estate offices. So.
Okay, all right. I had something else I was going to ask you, but it just completely escaped me. I have no idea what it even was at this point. So, all right.
All righty.
All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
This is Pat.
What's up?
Sorry I left earlier. I had to run and save a drowning village.
Okay.
Listen, the opening of the IKEA is Wednesday. Even though they're lining up today, that's a big, you know, event. I mean, that's why they have extra Portland police for it and everything. And sometimes in different countries around the world, it gets really ugly and violent.
So they're lining up today for an IKEA that's not even open?
Till Wednesday.
See, you know what it is? That's manufactured hype. That's some crap where people... That's just retarded, is what that is. There's just no excuse for that.
Well, no doubt they you know, somehow got it going through their marketing efforts, but it's taken on a life of its own now. I mean, it's like a big rock group, you know? I mean, the fans, and they just... They do this wherever a new store opens, I guess. I don't know. I've never even been into one.
Yeah,
so.
It sickens me. All right. Thank you,
and
sir.
Item two, Rick?
Yes.
Okay, the British Isle, you know? Okay, that's why they're called that. Yes, Britain, London, Scotland, that's all on one island, and then across the channel is Ireland. That's why it's called the British Isle.
So they're not connected. It's not like a Haiti-Dominican Republic thing where they're all on the same island together.
It is for Great Britain and Scotland, but there's a body of water between Great Britain and Ireland.
All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
All right, there you go. All right. 503-733-2970. Idiotville, population Scotty. It's 503-733-2970. All right, we should break here. We'll come back, get caught up here. We'll break. We'll come back with Tim Riley. Then the top five. We have today the top five magic songs in honor of the release of Harry Potter 7. Top five magic songs in the way. Plus, this fantastic penis watch, Like It's at 3, Dynamite at 7. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Like us at 3, Dynamite at 7. In just moments, we once again join Tim Riley of the Ministry of Truth, and we'll do the top five magic songs here in just a moment. Before we do anything else, we should do that. It's from the New York Post, so you know it's got to be good. Ladies and gentlemen, for Monday... Here's a truly fantastic penis watch.
Take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start melting away.
Mm-hmm.
I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
This is fantastic. This is from the New York Post today, page 7. This is by Roddy Boyd, staff writer for the New York Post. Fired execs beef. Claims he was hung out to dry. A former Mitsubishi executive, by the way, we'd like to remind you that this is a news story broadcast here inside a news segment of the Rick Emerson radio program on this AM 970 KCMD Portland, a news talk radio station operating as mandated by the FCC in the public interest, convenience, and necessity with news broadcasts such as this. The former Mitsubishi executive is suing his ex-employer because a co-worker allegedly took a picture of his penis after a booze-fueled karaoke bash, and his boss compared the penis to an Italian sausage. In a suit filed in Manhattan court last month, James Bonomo, a former paper sales manager for the Mitsubishi International Corporation, alleged that his career effectively ended after the humiliating incident during what should have been a routine business trip to China in April 2005. The suit also says that during a trip to Beijing, Bonomo and his Tokyo-based superior, Tetsuya Furuichi, and a China-based Mitsubishi executive had dinner with a potential customer. Afterward, Furuichi took everyone to a bar for some liquor-fueled karaoke, telling Bonomo beforehand, "You will be the target tonight." That's how you know the evening's going to end well. Later that same night, Furuichi allegedly pressured Bonomo into visiting a bathhouse for what he said would be a non-sexual massage with the clients. En route, Bonomo's boss regaled him with an analysis of his admiration for the purported genital size of Italian-Americans, he said. Despite Bonomo's discomfort, Furuichi continued on in that vein, allegedly saying, quote, "Italian men have penises to here," gesturing to his knees. The suit noted that Bonomo is both an Italian-American and gay. At the bathhouse, a colleague from Mitsubishi's Beijing office took a picture of Bonomo's penis on his cell phone and then refused to delete the picture when Bonomo demanded he do so, the suit states. After the incident, Bonomo's boss, Ferrucci, repeatedly compared Bonomo's penis to an Italian sausage, often while giggling a lot and pointing at his knees, the plaintiff said. That's fantastic. Not long after the trip, Bonomo's suit claims his work environment became abusive and hostile. Also, the suit says his sales targets were set unreasonably high in an effort to force him out of his job. Mitsubishi denied the allegation. There goes your penis watch
take a
for
look at my enormous penis. And my truck started melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth.
To hear!
This is Tim Riley.
I can't believe I'm reading these words. I had to read it twice, but it is true. There's an apparent security flaw in the software of Apple's new iPhone. The glitch could let attackers or hackers obtain personal information about you. Joe Wilcox with eWeek Microsoft Watch. Oh, this is a little Microsoft thing, is it? Says the flaw can become a challenge for legitimate companies to break.
There's been, like, huge hype about this device, right? And so it's a puzzle to be solved. There's an opportunity for added publicity if you're a security firm and you can crack this device.
So apparently you can hack into the iPhone using a Wi-Fi connection. And you're able to force the phone to transmit text messages, email addresses, and other contact information to the hacker's computer. Don't try. It's not a nice thing to do. Police say a man confessed to stealing a ferret. He's also charged with retail theft. They say he stole the animal to use it to pay a bill. The ferret is valued at $139. A teenage boy who broke into a high-rise fell 26 stories to his death during a botched burglary. Apparently, the people living in the apartment came home. He tried to climb down the balcony and slipped, falling 26 floors to his death.
Where is this at?
Canada, of all places, but they're a little bit smarter. Yeah. The Romanian death heat is now claiming its 18th victim. The heat wave that hit Romania in the past week killed at least 18 and caused hundreds to collapse in the street. Most of the deaths are caused by dehydration. Of course, they have a hard time finding water there.
Of course, Romania can't smell good under the best of circumstances.
No.
So.
I mean, aside from the Stalin statues, there's not much there to go for.
Just a whole lot of parks named after Vlad the Impaler.
The world's dried up, leaving people without water.
Oh.
They sent dozens of workers to villages to dig new, deeper wells, but they, too, collapsed.
Oh, I'm sorry. You would think, look, I don't mean to mock, but you would think if you were being sent to
this
a place...
This is like Borat.
That's like those idiots where, like, a cell phone will fall into a tank of sewage, mm-hmm. and, like, a whole village just goes in eventually. Like, one guy goes in after another, goes in after another, until the whole everybody's dead.
Yeah.
If you're being sent to a place where hundreds of people are dying in the streets from something they're calling a death heat, and you're being sent there to dig a well because there's no water, here's a little tip from me. Bring some water with you so that you do not then also die in the streets. I don't mean to be doing your job for you and so forth, but it does seem, you know...
Just another day in Romania.
Wonderful day. Maybe I'll go there. Maybe that's what I should do. Maybe that's what I do. If Laura insists on taking me somewhere, I'll just pick some place where she couldn't possibly, like Albania, just some place she couldn't possibly want to spend any time.
That's all I have at the moment.
Okay, well, let's do the top five, shall we?
Why not?
Here's your top five for Monday.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Is Scotty coming in, too?
Scotty, you should be coming to the studio now. Thank you.
Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
You know, I was having a dinner with Aaron and his wife on Friday, and Aaron revealed to me that sometimes when he's in here, sort of, you know, Aaron will be sort of in Scotty's room waiting for his, you know, waiting to, for the cue to come on. And he revealed that sometimes when we summon Scotty in here, Scotty actually swears really loudly, like out loud. He'll actually curse us out loud in the room when we
Why
summon
would
him
he
to come
do
in.
Something like that.
Is that true, Scotty?
Could be in the middle of something, and
apparently, like
a sandwich in my mouth or something, and then boom.
Aaron was here on Friday, and I guess he was in there with Scotty, and we played the Scotty Center, and I guess he said that Scotty just like threw down whatever he's working on and said MF really loudly.
I noticed that he kind of tells on me a lot.
Yes, he does.
I got to be very secretive around that guy.
Got to be sneaky.
Put on a happy face when I'm around that guy.
Is it true that sometimes Aaron ends up answering the calls for you? Aaron ends up screening the calls.
No, that was one day that I was going to do the news for the 6, 7, and 8
hour. You were busy deleting
hour.
Some news from the computer?
Oh, it was the 6, 7, 8 hour. I was filling in for Tim one day when he was gone, and I said, hey, dude, you know, you could probably just, you know, put the guys on hold for me while I go record this news. And he said, nah, I better not. And but, it, yeah, there okay. you go.
Good story. I love
this guy. I especially like the part where nothing happened. That was great. All right. Okay, so Scotty.
But Scotty did do me a favor, just honorable mention.
What? Oh, really? Oh, fantastic. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is created by, and this is a good list. Well done, Scotty. Of course, Harry Potter 7 is out in stores as of Friday.
So is the Taylor Hicks book.
That really is the magic here. That really is the, and I anticipate that I will be finished with that tonight. Do you think you'll finish it tonight?
Yes.
All right. And I don't think anybody else here in the building is reading it. Is Fat Boy reading it? Did he say?
I would assume that they would be.
I know. He walked by. I had to apologize to him because Laura and I were downtown at the Powell's, and I saw Fat Boy from Court and Fat Boy and KUFO, and I was actually trying to track somebody down in the crowd. And so he waved to me, and I kind of said, and I waved back like, yeah, hang on for a second. And then I came back, and he was gone. So I think he thinks I was blowing him off. But it was just such a zoo, it was impossible to find anybody down there. So I think we might be the only people in the building actually reading it right now, just the three of us. So, Scotty, going to be reading New Harry Potter?
Yeah, I want to buy it used from somebody.
It's going to be big book number 4 for Scotty.
No, actually, I bought a book for $1 at the dollar store this weekend about Ronald Reagan. And it was normally $24.95, and it was
really, and it was down. That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
What's the book?
Something about
what's the title?
I can't even remember now.
Ronald Reagan,
the man behind
stuff.
The something. I don't know.
The man behind the
closed doors. I don't know.
Is this a book that Ronald Reagan wrote?
No, his closest advisor that was with him all those years.
What's that advisor?
The 70s.
What's that advisor's name?
I just grabbed the book, bought it, and. Told my wife, you know, I always buy books that just look great on my bookshelf.
Did it have a large, pleasing picture on the cover?
It did. All he was right. sitting there like...
Was he in front of an American flag?
I think he was
on a horse. Was he wearing a leather jacket of some kind?
No, he had a tie on the presidential airplane. He was sitting in there.
What's the name of the presidential airplane?
Air Force One.
Very good. Well done. Please to spell Reagan.
R-E-A-G-A-N.
Very well done, Scotty. You're on a roll lately.
I'm on the preface of that book.
Okay.
Spell Hillary.
Spell President Hillary.
No,
let me ask you this right now.
Then we've got to focus.
No, well, let me ask you this one question, then we got to do the top five here. Right now, do you believe Hillary Clinton will be our next president?
No.
How sure are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
9.5.
9.5. So you believe the
there's
election...
There's still that little fragment of doubt.
So you there's,
a fragment, there's fragments of Bill Clinton left over that we just don't want to see again. So
you
it's
think
not going to happen.
But you think it's possible?
No.
Well, you said 9.5, not 10.
That's because, I don't know, we can also get hit by a major tornado hurricane here in downtown Portland. So there is a 99 point...
But you gave it a 5% chance.
Okay.
So the now
it's
let me,
not going to happen.
Okay. So who do you believe the general election is going to come down to who?
Well, I would like to vote for Rudy Giuliani, personally.
But I mean,
he's a little liberal, I hear, Scotty.
He really is.
It's okay to have a little liberalism.
He's a lot liberal.
Well,
what are you
going to
do, Scotty?
He's a little bit conservative, too, so.
He's a little bit country?
Really?
He's a little bit rock and roll, I hear.
All right, we'll revisit this later. Here are the top five magic songs of all time put together by our own Scotty J.
With honorable mention, it's David Bowie and Dance Magic Dance.
I don't know this song.
Oh, come on.
You've seen this movie,
sorry.
Have you not?
What movie?
The Labyrinth. David Bowie, right?
Were you just doing that intentionally?
You've
no,
seen
I don't think
it,
he knows
right?
how to say Labyrinth.
Labyrinth. Oh, whatever.
Oh, no. Hold on. No.
Wait.
No, forget
hey,
it.
This is the telltale line. It's coming up.
I totally know this song.
Oh, Sarah really is a huge Labyrinth fan. You are the biggest Labyrinth fan I've ever met in my life. More so than any, you know, male nerd I've ever met. Is he the Goblin King? Is that his deal?
He is. He's Jareth the Goblin King.
I've only seen it once, long time ago.
And he wrote the whole score for this movie.
Now, how does Pan's Labyrinth? I don't even know how to say it.
Can you drop the music just a hair there?
How does it compare?
What movie?
Who's Pan?
And what's a labyrinth?
I don't know. I don't know.
Say the word again.
I think it's labyrinth. That's how I've always pronounced it.
Maybe we should move on to the next song.
Tim's throwing you a rope. Labyrinth. I'm sorry, okay, Tim. Ready? Please be resuming.
At number five, it's ELO with Strange Magic.
I haven't heard this song in a while.
Yeah.
Didn't this sound like a Bee Gees song?
Mm-hmm.
It totally got that like helium harmony thing going on. I like ELO. I like ELO a lot.
Well, there's one thing we can agree on, Rick Emerson.
So you have more in common than you think.
We're like brothers.
Yeah.
From a different world.
You know, speaking of 70s rock, I got this text from Scotty on what Saturday night. He's like, I'm at the Rush concert. It effing rocks.
Oh, my God. They opened up with Limelight. Later on, they played Tom Sawyer.
Yes, I haven't heard Tom Sawyer enough
know,
in my life.
I need
to hear Tom Sawyer for the 9 millionth time.
How they intermixed it with all kinds of stuff. They also played Digital Man off of their Subdivisions album. It was incredible.
It was insane. I just don't care.
If you were there, though, you'd like it.
I've seen Rush
Especially
Live.
If you were standing by me, you'd love it.
Yeah. I've seen Rush Live. They're good and all. I'm not a big Rush fan.
They don't change. I mean, they're precise every time. I mean, his voice sounded the same. The music sounded the same. It was incredible. And it was so crowded. It was just a sea of millions of people.
Tim, would you like to share some thoughts with us?
No. Good. Time to move along. Okay. Number four, it's Pilot with It's Magic.
Now, I don't think I know this song.
Oh, yes. Here's Pilot with Magic on AM 970.
That was good.
All right.
Oh, I totally know this song.
So you know.
You're right.
It's in Happy Gilmore, right?
Boy, how much does this sound like Supertramp? This completely is a Supertramp song.
Now, I put the two together because they kind of matched each other. ELO into this. It's kind of a good mix, right?
I could see that. Sort of a similar sound. Not a bad song. Did you just have all these songs sitting on your hard drive?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
It took me like 3 seconds to find these.
Literally, like, I suggested this top five, and like 2 minutes later on the screen, top five, done.
This came out around the same time as the original Kung Fu Fighting.
Really?
And Barry Manilow with Mandy. All those songs came out around
the same time. It's a very definitively 70s sound to it, the production style. Counting on the top five Magic songs.
And at number three, The Cars with Magic.
I love this song. I really do.
I love the video where he's walking across the water. That's the best video ever.
I'm not a big Cars fan, but I like this song a lot. It's got a cool... It's very rhythmic.
I like it when he kneels down in the water and shakes people's hands or something like that.
I don't even know that I've ever seen the video.
It's a big old L.A., you know, super long, you know, football field long swimming pool with a huge gazebo-like looking thing at the end. And he walks on the water while people are swimming.
I remember this song came out at the same time as Round and Round by Dead or Alive. Yep. Same summer, I think. I think they both came out the same summer. This and Round and Round by... Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
You Spin Me. Whatever
round,
that song is by Dead or Alive.
Right Round, actually.
It inextricably linked to my ex. They both came out at the same time. I think these guys are touring right now. I think the Cars are touring with everybody but Rick Ocasek, who's just sitting at home.
And Benjamin Orr, who is no more.
Were you trying to rhyme?
No.
Okay.
At number two, it's Triumph with Magic Power.
Triumph. Yeah. It's like if you can't afford Rush to come play at your party, this is who, you know, they'll come play for like a tenth. We couldn't afford Rush, but Triumph is here.
Now, obviously, these Magic songs are leaning towards the 70s and 80s.
Yes.
I don't know how that happened.
The only good Triumph song is Fight the Good Fight.
It's a good one.
This is not a good song. Fight the Good Fight is the only good song these guys ever did.
This song reminds me of skiing on Mount Hood. We always had our little portable CD, or not CD players, but cassette players that were bigger than a...
It's like the size of a car.
Yeah.
They sound like Melissa Etheridge.
Totally. Just picture this guy shrieking, come to my window, in an irritating, gravelly voice.
Come to
I can totally
window.
See that. I could. Well done. Well done, Tim.
Why doesn't she take up the Triumph song? Last but not least, at number one.
Yeah.
This really goes back, Scotty. Heart with Magic Man.
Yay.
This
oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Sexy. You know what? This song was great, and then it became cheesy for a while, and now it's back to being great again.
Well, just talking about Harry Potter, this fits. Totally. He's a magic man, right? I haven't read the book, but it's cool
I don't
understand.
I don't think they're talking about the same sort of skills, but okay. This is a great song. All right, excellent. God, how great is Ann Wilson?
I actually saw them in concert with Firefall at the Memorial Coliseum.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it was actually good. It was an okay concert.
Huh.
I'm into concerts.
I'm really into Heart. That's what I'm into. I don't care what she looks like now. She's still hot just because she's got that voice. All right, back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. All right.
Yeah.
We're now into the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Aaron says, don't worry, you're not the only one. My ass only got 258 pages in because no one would leave me alone all weekend. I actually turned my phone off at a certain point because it was like the universe knew that I was trying to finish the Harry Potter book, and everybody would call me and text me, and I would get it. And finally, I literally said out loud, like the 100th time that my phone rang while I was trying to read Harry Potter, I said, F this! And I actually said, F this S, really loudly, and like turned off my phone.
Like Scotty J having to come into the studio?
Seriously, I'm like, F that! And I threw my phone across the room. He says, I almost called in sick that I used to read the book. And yes, Sarah talking about Star Trek The Next Generation is a perfectly acceptable way to spend a wedding reception. He signs it, make it so, sweet thing, make it so. Let's see. Rick, I love how many of us dove into the last Harry Potter book simultaneously. It's as close as we can get to having the story downloaded straight into our minds, Matrix style. Another email says, Rick, the thing that fascinates me the most about the release of Harry Potter 7 and everything that went around it is that reading is such a private event, but it's turned into more of a social event. It's amazing, it really is. This is for the guy who called earlier about Dune. Rick, Netflix has both the extended and regular versions of Dune. So there you go, Dune caller from earlier. All right, join us tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, and our guest will be so-and-so, and the guy who did the thing, plus Dennis Pitzenberg. We want to thank Peter Carlin from The Oregonian, also CNN radio correspondents James Roop and Lisa Goddard, as well as Clyde Lewis. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley, the PA is Scotty J, and the gatekeeper, of course, is Dave Zinn. Like us next, Don and Mike at 7. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards run you down. Thanks for listening. Do try to help the retarded, at which I failed today, and watch out for snakes. See you tomorrow. Bye.